This week, we catch up with the gaming news, including the announcement of the new Nintendo 3DS and cancellation of Majora's Mask bundles. Tonight, we're interviewing Eric, head of the MAGFest West Coast event, Rockage. We'll be taking your questions in chat, as well as your calls right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio for this episode number 584, January the 25th of 2015. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle with my co-host right over there, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
I am trying to write fan fiction over here, Rob.
Are you writing fanfic during OLR?
Well, I had been writing it actually during Bobby's show, and I was finishing up a thought.
Well, I'm sure he's thrilled to hear that his show is inspiring fanfic, but it's not Bobby Blackwell fanfic, is it?
No, it's Dragon Age.
Okay, that'd be a little weird if it was Bobby Blackwell fanfic. Is it Bobby Blackwell playing Dragon Age fanfic?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Stop making it weird.
No creepy closing pages now.
This isn't like, you know, some people, let's be real, Dark Saga. Some people, when they hear fanfic, their mind instantly goes to slash fic or porn. But are you writing porn?
No.
Okay, so you're writing things that are classy. You have a little bit of a look on your face. Like,
I'm actually very weirded out right now.
It is. Oh, okay.
It's tastefully done.
Oh, hi, Tech Master Loki. How are you?
I have a mouthful of breadsticks.
Loki's writing his pizza fanfic over there.
He's shoving stuff from a box into his face.
Okay, in all seriousness, obviously we poke fun a little bit because that's what we do here at OLR, but what inspires you to write fanfic? Why do you do fanfic? I mean, because there are people that look at it and go, that's weird. So what would you say to them?
I more or less like to do it as a way to explore the characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of an expansion. Sometimes it's a way to get your headcanon out. In this case, it's more or less just a nagging thought that I wanted to get out of my head.
So it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, you know, the BioWare games and BioWare universe is very good at, you can do so many different things with your characters, but at the end of the day, and any of you that have played a BioWare game are familiar with this, you have your little circle and you can pick from, what, 3 to 6 different options. Mm-hmm. Well, what if the option you want isn't one of those things?
Yeah.
You know, maybe you want to do something else. So this is kind of your way of getting that out of your system.
Kind of, sort of. Hmm. Basically, and I was telling you this earlier, but basically my premise for this is, you know, when you start Dragon Age Inquisition, you can get 1 of 8 characters, pretty much.
Right.
You know, four races, 2 genders.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I did sort of a what if, you know, if all of those characters had been there and only one of them made it to Inquisitor and the other people still were there, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a what if. I was just sort of thinking, you know, I love alternate universe stories, and I love, you know, like time travel things. What if we changed this in the past? What if this happened? And so it's sort of like my Back to the Future meets Dragon Age, except no DeLorean.
Where do people come together to share all this stuff? I mean, obviously, the internet, but what corner of the internet? Is this a forum? And I'm not saying you have to, like, give your exact location, but...
No, it's fine. Uh-huh. I post on Archive of Our Own,
uh-huh,
or as people see it, AO3.
Uh-huh.
Some people use fanfiction.net. I used to. I wrote Digimon fanfiction years ago, by the way.
Now that's creepy. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No. Anyway...
I dated a guy years and years and years ago. I'm gonna keep it real. So like I don't think what you do is strange at all, because I used to date a guy years and years ago who wrote fan fiction or slash based on the television show Popular, which I don't know if you ever saw this. It was on the WB. It was the guy who made Glee did this years and years ago. He wrote like porny stories about the characters on that. So you know what? That kind of takes the cake, in my opinion.
They exist. I mean, there's people who do. I've just never been comfortable writing it. I have written it before.
Uh-huh.
Never enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just not interested in that kind of thing. But it hasn't stopped me from reading other people's work. there's people who post their stuff on Tumblr, people post it on Facebook, have whole communities over it. And for me, I'm writing more or less just for myself, but I am posting it. So, I mean, if anyone wants to read it, I'll link it to you. I don't care.
Okay. I'm going to check in with Techmaster Loki here in a minute, but I want to check in with our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com because we do tape live at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And Bobby Blackwolf starting us off saying, Dark Sakura thinks I'm creepy. Frown. SSU100 Matt says, in my Bobby Blackwolf fan fiction, he knows and likes watching hockey. There you go. You can change things from what they do there. Let's see. Fifth Dream says, I want to romance Varric. So I'm assuming Varric is
me
not...
Me too, except mm-hmm. I do like Bianca.
So Varric is not a romanceable option in the game, right? So this is no. a way for people to kind of get that out of their head.
He's got his sights set on the one who got away.
I see. Gotcha. All right, well, going over to Techmaster Loki. How you doing, Loki?
Now I'm full.
Now you're full. Give you enough time to eat some pizza there, get caught up before the show, right?
Yes.
Awesome. How was your week off? Y'all know I went to Seattle, but what did you guys do with your night off?
I had to go with the kids to my mother-in-law's house.
Oh, fuck.
To watch the kids.
You sound so thrilled about this.
Yeah, it was thrilling. Yeah.
All right. Did you get a chance to play any games or work on your own game or anything with the
extra
time?
No, I did that this week. I wasted a lot of time working on my game this week. Yeah. I say wasted because I ended up working on trying to convert some scripts from JavaScript to C#. And then I realized once I got about 8 hours in, I was like, wow, there's a really easy way to do what I wanted to do without having to convert all this stuff. So I just like threw it all away and I'm like, oh, that works. It's like, damn it, if I had only realized this 8 hours ago. So... yeah, that was my weekend.
Bummer. So I know you're not the type that writes fan fiction online, but you know, Dark Sakura was talking about big forums. You've participated in some big forums as well, but things that have to do more with, I would imagine, Grand Theft Auto hacking was one, right? Didn't you used to?
A long time ago, I used to do stuff with, was it Seven Sins and stuff? But yeah. Now I can't keep up with it, and you know, I don't really want to mess with it on, you know, Xbox now, like Grand Theft Auto 5, people like hack online and stuff. It's not as fun. The problem is because 5 and even like some of the expansions for 4 weren't exactly the same. Like 5, there's not really structured game like multiplayer modes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just, we'll wander around and do stuff and, you know, you may join up a mode or something like that with someone else, but it's not like, okay, I'm going to go into deathmatch, I'm only going to play deathmatch, that type of stuff, or I'm only going to do races.
Right.
See, I kind of like that. Or I wish there was, you know, both. You can do structured stuff and have not structured stuff, but that's kind of what I used to play, and so now I don't really play a lot of that.
I think forums in general are a little bit of like a dying thing online a little bit because, like, you know, we have forums over at vognetwork.com, but they're a little tumbleweedy. I mean, some of the shows kind of post their weekly updates, which is really good to read, but you don't have, like, the abundance of conversation like you might see on some other things. And, you know, to be fair, in the age of Facebook groups and Twitter and so forth, you know, a lot of, I think, things have shifted to that, where those sites have become the things that you check, you know, 5 times an hour. I think a lot of people have moved a lot of their things into that, unless it's something like really, really focused, like maybe what, you know, Jamie's talking about. I'm sure with these fanfic things as well, you probably don't have room on Facebook for pages
and
pages.
Yeah, usually, like, if I read anything, I don't really participate in forums that much anymore. It's more of like, you know, I'll read everything. I'll read even sites that, you know, I know are garbage, except for Polygon. I don't read that anymore. But I'll read, like, I'll still browse Kotaku every now and then, just for the hell of it. And sometimes I'll browse, you know, NeoGAF.
NeoGAF's a forum, sure, but NeoGAF's kind of its own little monster. I don't really consider that
Some things are. It's not necessarily, yeah, I mean, sometimes it's a lot of garbage, but sometimes it's just, you know, like they have, you know, kind of an indie game, you know, people that are working on indie games posts that kind of sometimes, you know, regurgitates back to the top again. It's all see that people are working on, that kind of thing. Or, you know, I'll just like, sometimes I'll have like early shots of different games or like impressions and stuff. So usually that's what that's for. But, you know, occasionally I'll go back to Seven Sins, usually for... not so much Grand Theft Auto hacking, but like I was going there. Actually, Grand Theft Auto 5 related. I was trying to find a way to hack the money in single player because I don't want to. Like, I'm trying to wait for my money that's supposed to come when because I pre-ordered the game digitally and it still hasn't deposited into my game. I think it happens at a certain point in the game. I haven't gotten to that point yet, and so I was like, well, is there a way to like, kind of cheat just to get more money? Because I've already 100% of this thing on Xbox 360, and I don't really want to grind at it to get more money and stuff on the PlayStation 4. I just want to kind of wipe through it really fast so I can get to, you know, the end game stuff, or, you know, the Chiliad mystery stuff, which I don't even know if there's actually anything to that. I don't know.
Well, let me read some comments from our chat room. We were talking about forums, because since I mentioned the VOG forums and that not a lot of people are using that stuff, I'm noticing in chat here, let's see, we got Tiger Claw saying, we need to post more in the VOG forum, and I usually post stuff in the VOG forum, and SSG100 Matt says, I posted a game completion challenge in the VOG forums. Hey, by all means, if you guys want to make the VOG forums a thing, I will join you. I'm happy to participate in some longer discussions on there. Yeah, I think that'd be great. Don't let me please don't let me discourage you.
This is pretty tumbleweedy that... you know, out of my sheer laziness, I still haven't disabled yet the Minecraft server.
Oh, there you go.
Still
You can renaissance all these things in 2015. All right.
I don't even know.
Well, I'm going to move on here from the intros. We'll get to our gaming weeks a little later, but in just under 15 minutes, we're going to be talking to Eric, who is the head of Rockage San Jose. We're going to be talking to him about this event, which is now what many are calling, because this is an official MAGFest event now, it's the which happened this weekend on the East Coast. This is now MAGFest West Coast, essentially. So this is really cool. I've heard, I know we have listeners of the show who are like just getting back from
MAGFest
tonight.
What's a MAGFest?
Music and Games Fest. You know, they do a lot of like indie music bands, like, you know, things like Mini Bosses. You know, the Mini Bosses, they're going to be at this Rockage. You know, Mega Ran, you know Mega Ran, he was on the show, he's going to be there too at Rockage, so this is going to be awesome. I'm hoping to check out the event myself. It's in 2 weeks. It's the weekend of the 8th. So I'm hoping to get out there at least for a day myself, because San Jose isn't too far away. But we'll be talking to Eric about that event, and I'm sure we'll get some calls later from some listeners who are at MAGFest on the East Coast this week. So we're going to be talking a lot about music and games tonight, but that is just fine by me, because you know what? I love both things, music and games. I'm pretty sure you guys love both things as well. So we'll be talking to him in about 15 minutes. But we were gone last week. We took the week off. I took a vacation with Alan. We went up to Seattle. I had a great time. I don't have a lot of like gaming things to report, except I did go to GameWorks, which, if you've been to PAX Prime, you know GameWorks, because it's right across the street from the convention center. And coincidentally, I was staying in a hotel that was right near the convention center as well. So we headed over to GameWorks, and I did get my fill of playing some pop and music and DDRX and X2. And seeing, there was even still a Derby Owners Club machine up in the corner. And I thought of Dark Sakura and some of the obscene things she used to name her horses.
And but you had Paula Terry.
I did.
You beat Paula Terry made her sad.
Which kind of isn't funny in retrospect, no. But it was kind of one of those inside jokes, you know, that you had to be there.
I actually still have all my horses.
Uh-huh.
I found Magical Sound.
Oh, that's good.
Who I finally retired, remember?
Yes. So I should have brought you back that one of those as a souvenir. I should have got a Derby Owners Club horse and named it something offensive and said, hey, this made me think of you, but oh well, I didn't think of it. All right. Anyway, since we were gone last week, it's time to recap the news from last week. And how do we recap news on this show? By playing a very important song like Holic in the background. So it's time for last week's news set to Holic. Last week, Nintendo did a big direct on January 14th that really dominated the week in the news, where they announced that, yes, the new 3DS will be coming to America.
I didn't know that.
I know. It's going to be coming on February 13th. The new 3DS will controversially not be coming with a charger. But the new 3DS will only be released in the XL version in the States, which is also ruffling a lot of feathers for those people who really wanted those exchangeable faceplates.
And it plays by their own rules.
Also announced, Puzzle & Dragons Super Mario Edition is coming to the West as a double pack with the original Puzzle & Dragons Z. Nintendo also going to be making a new game in the Fire Emblem series. Xenoblade Chronicles coming out in the U.S. in April. Mario Party 10 going to be coming out as well, and it will have its own set of amiibo that come with that. But if you already have a Mario amiibo that you're using with Super Smash Brothers, you're going to have to get another one if you want to have also save data with Mario Party 10. Because guess what? Amiibos only hold save data for one game. Good thing you can get all these characters in
really
different poses.
That is really fucking retarded.
Also, Rock Band DLC. There was new Rock Band DLC that released last week featuring Arctic Monkeys and Foo Fighters. The first released since American Pie was, quote-unquote, the last piece of Rock Band DLC. But hopefully this means a resurgence for the series very soon. So there it is, last week's news set to Holic.
Seriously, one game? That's so forward-thinking of you, Nintendo. Like, goddamn.
Yeah. I mean, well, I already told you, I'm over Amiibo. I'm over it. Like, I see people on Twitter that are chasing down all the different ones, and, you know, good for them. I am not one to knock how other people spend their money, and if that is the thing you collect and you're happy about it, hey, I got a collection of Pez dispensers that people think is a waste of money. You have your Amiibo and you rock on, but I think I'm kind of over it. Like, I just, the more and more they're harder to find, the ones that you really want, and they only will do the data for one game, and now they're really milking it with more. It's just, I'm over it. I'm done with the Amiibo thing. So, I have my three. That's enough.
So much for that theory that you'd be able to, like, you know, train something on Smash Brothers and then go play like another game and have that Amiibo be good at that game or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the point?
Let's see. VXJasonXV in our chat room saying, people are surprised that Amiibo only holds one game worth of data. Have you ever played an arcade game with a card system? Literally every NFC system uses one set of identifiers because there's no other way to do it. I get that, but I sort of feel like Amiibos were maybe misrepresented a little bit. Like, and that may be true. I just, you know, or maybe I'm just an idiot, which is certainly possible, but I really feel like I got the impression that your one Amiibo was going to work in all these different games. And they work in Mario Part 8 and Hyrule Warriors because all it's doing is it's unlocking something, and that's it. There's no data going back and forth. So I kind of get why it's different, but I feel like because Nintendo set it up that way when they first announced it, where they're like, this one Amiibo will work in all these games, that was the expectation we were given. And I don't know. Is it completely unrealistic to think that maybe you would have the option to have data on your GameCube as well, or even be able to maybe transfer the data to the
GameCube?
Sorry, the game, the Wii U.
It's all right. It's essentially the same thing.
Nah, it's just four of them duct taped together, right? No, but I'm thinking everybody forgets this. The Wii controller has data storage in it.
Yeah.
Because you can put your Mii in your Wii controller and take it from
place
to place.
You can
put
your Mii in your Wii.
That's right.
So
what would be stopping you from putting Amiibo data in those things?
Oh, just, because they wouldn't be able to sell figures.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel like there's a better way they can do it. I don't know. Anyway.
Or like have, like, here's another thing you could do. Like, say, for example, you have your Amiibo figures that stick on a base, which I really think that any of these figures that come out should be fully posable and stuff. But let's just say that you have, you know, this base that goes on there. Maybe sell a separate base for, like, $2 or something that you could pop it on there. Okay, this one's for Mario Kart. This one's for Smash Brothers. And that way you use the same Amiibo and you don't have to buy another one. But, of course, then they're selling $2 worth of something instead of $12.
Akuma JP in chat says, I buy Amiibo only as figures. It's so well done. You know what? I get that is as much as I do get. But, and I actually agree, they are very well made figures. I really like them. I just hate the whole Beanie Baby crazy, if you want a Wii Fit trainer, good luck. You're going to have to pull some weaves in a Walmart parking lot in order to be able to get them. Like, it's just, I can't with all that types of fighting, like, and the eBay scalpers and people jacking up the price. Like, I just can't handle all that. Like, I get that I can get a good chunk of them by walking into Target. I just walked into Target yesterday. I saw Kirby. I saw Luigi. I saw a bunch of cool ones. But, you know, I kind of want a Wii Fit trainer. And I kind of want Mega Man and Pac-Man. And I know all these ones are going to be crazy hard to find. So, I don't know. But anyway, I'm not hating on those of you that enjoy it and collect them. I'm just saying I'm over it. And these are some of the reasons why. Let's see. Looking at some other comments in chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Which, by the way, when we get Eric on the show here in a little bit, if you want to ask questions about Rockage San Jose, we will be taking live questions from our chat room. Again, that's over at live.vognetwork.com. Physics major in our chat, I hope I said that right, says, I'm only getting one more Amiibo, and that's the last one I'm getting. Yeah, but that's how they get you. Just one more hit. And then they'll be like, oh, but we're releasing this figure that collectors everywhere are going to want to have. All right, well, I wanted to talk about this. What do you guys think about the new 3DS? Because I was lucky enough this week I got to actually play one from Japan. You know, our buddy Shane here at Orange Lounge Radio actually imported one from Japan, and I kind of gave him shit for it because I'm like, why did you spend all that money? But he made a good case. Shane can understand enough Japanese to be able to play some of the games. And he's like, I want to play Final Fantasy Explorers right now. And I want to play Rhythm Heaven when it comes out. And I'm like, all right, you know what? You make a good case. If that's how you want to spend the money, you can get the new 3DS.
I got this message from him at work. Come over to my desk and see my new toy. Okay.
So you got to see one of these too. What'd you think? What'd you think of the new 3DS?
It was the other day. It was all right. I actually didn't play with it, but I held it for a little bit. It felt like a 3DS, just a little bit weird.
Yeah, it kind of...
The screen was a little weird.
It doesn't feel that different from an XL to me at all.
No. I don't like the XLs that much.
I love the XL. And so, like, the screen size and everything is good with me. And I will say my favorite thing about the new 3DS is that head tracking 3D. It does work pretty well. Like, and Shane even kept saying to me, why are you trying to break it? Because I kept, like, tilting the 3DS. But I was like, I just want to see. I want to check it out, like, how this head tracking thing works. And it actually does work pretty well. So for those that don't know, like, it'll actually kind of measure, like, as you look to the left, it'll kind of... you know, see that your head is moving to the left and it will shift the 3D appropriately and so forth.
This is the little fucker I've been playing.
What is that? Oh, that's a little Game Boy.
It's a Game Boy Micro.
Micro. those things came and went real quick.
Yeah, they did.
All right. Anyway. But on the new 3DS, he let me play Final Fantasy Explorers. So that was really cool to get a chance to finally play that, except it was all in Japanese, so I had no idea what I was doing. So Shane kept telling me, like, okay, use the L, and then you can press a button to do an attack. And so he's having to, like, explain everything over my shoulder. I'm like, okay. But I was using a little bit of that nub, and that's what they added on the new 3DS. There's a nub right above the buttons. It's like it's a little nipple that you basically you can go and move the camera using the nub. The best comparison is like if you ever used an old school laptop. In fact, I think a lot of laptops have these. They all have the nubs in the middle to use the mouse, right? That's what it is. That's what the new 3DS has for that second stick. And when I was hearing about this and stuff, I was like, oh, it's going to be like a full, like just a tiny little thing like the guy on the left. No, it's like a nub, like an old mouse on a laptop. So it was kind of, I did not like the feel of it at all. But Shane really loves it, which is good because it was his money and he bought it. So he has to really love it.
He likes to fondle the nub.
Yeah, he does. Well, I'm not. He did me a favor by coming over and bringing that. So I'm not going to make fun of him live on air. So, yeah, that was kind of weird to me. So the other thing with the new 3DS, and I'm trying to wrap this up because I want to move on to our call here in a minute. But with the new 3DS, I'm not totally convinced I need one because from a hardware perspective, although the head tracking is very cool, it's not enough to convince me to give up my Zelda 3DS that I have right now and plop $200 on a new 3DS. And my problem right now is that the games they've announced coming out for the new 3DS that you have to have a new 3DS for aren't really compelling right now. Final Fantasy Explorers, you can play that on a regular 3DS. You just won't have that second controller for a camera. You have to use the D-pad or something, which, you know, I'll
get used
to it.
Well, I heard it was either use the D-pad
like using it
or
anyway.
You can even use the touchscreen.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, because that was the thing is I heard someone complain about that. They're like, well, a third of the touchscreen can be used as that. So,
well, that won't be so bad. That'll be cool. So, yeah, there's that. And Xenoblade, of course, is coming out on the new 3DS, but I kind of already played that on the Wii. Do I really need that on the new 3DS? I don't think so. So, I'm not feeling it right now. But here's the thing. Before you guys, because I know you Nintendo fanboys are passionate. I know you're going to write your hate mail to me right now. Hold on. Here's the thing, because I know this is what will happen. E3 this year, they're going to announce that game that I have to have that's going to be on the new 3DS, be it a new 2D Metroid or 2.5D Metroid or a new F-Zero or even, hell, like a new Mario game that's really good on handheld. There'll be something they're going to announce at E3, and I'm fully expecting that. But what I'm hoping is that not only will they announce that game, but then there'll be like new colors and new, you know, SKUs for the new 3DS that are even more interesting to me as well, because you know people went crazy about that Majora's Mask 3DS. And we'll have a new story on that a little bit later about just how crazy things are getting with that, talking about the scarcity and the Beanie Babies and all that. So either final thought from either of you guys before we move on here?
I wouldn't buy it.
You wouldn't buy it? Why is that?
Because if I'm going to buy a 3DS, you know, I don't like the fact that they keep updating the hardware on it. And it's going to get it to the point where you can't actually, you know, play certain games on it because it's only going to be supported by the new hardware. They did that with like the DSi and stuff. It's just, I don't want to mess with that. I want it just to come out, be around for a while, and then that's it. Then it just works instead of, you know, just, I don't know, having it where I have to constantly update my system. And the fact that they're just so, you know, cocky enough about it, they're like, well, that's why we didn't include a power, you know, supply there is because you guys are just going to upgrade your old ones because it's new and you'll buy whatever we put out. I mean, that's kind of an asshole move. To be fair, though,
you're not a really big handheld person right now, are you? Didn't you get rid of your Vita? And do you even really play your 3DS right now?
I don't have a 3DS.
You had a Japanese one. You sold that too, right?
Yeah, I had a Japanese one. I sold that. I had an American one. I sold that.
So you don't even handheld game right now?
No. Yeah.
So in the interest of putting your opinion in context, you don't really play handheld games.
But
right
I
now.
Like handheld games. It's just there's nothing I really want to play, and there's nothing that's justifying on why I need to have that system.
Fair enough.
Maybe put Minecraft on it.
That's all you need. You need Minecraft on it. And then
I don't know why I almost bought Minecraft again on PlayStation 4, but I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Why would I buy it on PlayStation 4? I don't fucking play it on PC.
All right, we're gonna shift gears here quite a bit because we're gonna move on. It is about 6:30, and this is the time that we say we're gonna get Eric on the line here. Eric is with the event Rockage 4.0. Rockage is being presented by MAGFest, or Music and Games Fest, and it's going to take place from February 6th through the 8th. That's just in 2 weeks in San Jose at the San Jose State University Student Union Ballroom. And if you want to get more information on this event, you can check out rockagesj.com or magfest.org. We're going to try to get Eric on the line right now. We're putting in his number and calling it up. Now, I believe Eric is at MAGFest that's going on this weekend, so I'm hoping he's in a good cell area and we'll be able to talk to him okay. So we're getting him on the line right now. The joys of live radio. Hey there,
live radio.
Eric?
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
I've got your Wii Fit trainer for you.
you must be listening to the show. You found an extra Wii Fit trainer for me?
I found it backstage here at MAGFest where I guess I'm talking to you from here. And I'm in National Harbor, Maryland.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm going to have to come to Rockage and pick up this Wii Fit trainer in person. And I'm going to be really disappointed if it's not there. I'm just kidding. How are you doing? You're at MAGFest East right now. How's that going?
MAGFest East. I think it's just called MAGFest. I don't know if they're going to go with MAGFest East or MAGFest Prime yet, but it's great, and I'm exhausted. It's amazing. You guys should all come here at some point in your life.
We actually had a few listeners that headed out to that event this weekend. Some of them are just now getting home. And Rama in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com is saying people are starting to run out because of the snowstorm. Is that true?
Apparently there's a blizzard coming, and we're still going here. I mean, MAGFest goes until Monday night, so we're going to have a party. Some people are leaving, though.
The party ain't over until y'all say it's over. That's how it was. Snow be damned, right?
Right. No Blizzraga 3 coming. It doesn't matter, yeah.
Well, stay safe out there, my friend, and we need you to get back here in a timely manner so that we know Rockage is going to go off without a hitch in February. Okay, so for those that don't know or haven't heard of this event, what is Rockage?
It's a three-day celebration of indie music and retro gaming. So it's basically a music and gaming festival in San Jose at San Jose State University.
Awesome. And it's taking place, of course, in 2 weeks, February 6th through the 8th. And people can get their tickets online right now, right?
Yep, you can get them online. We have three-day passes for sale. You can also get one-day passes at the door. And we still have plenty of tickets left, and we have 42 bands playing.
Oh, my
42.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. How do you go about finding 42 bands to play at your festival? How much goes – that's got to be a crazy amount of organization. I mean, it takes a lot of work for me to get one guest on OLR. How do you get 42 people?
I don't know. People find out. You know, we've done this for 4 years. This is our fourth Rockage. And now that MAGFest is involved, many other people and bands are finding out about it. MAGFest is the they run Rockage now. When it used to just be me doing it, you know, taking 11 months to plan, now it's a little bit easier with MAGFest and their awesome help.
Now, this is kind of a new thing. Even though this is the fourth year of your event, Rockage 4.0, this MAGFest relationship, I believe, is newer for you guys, right? How did that all come to be?
Well, it's a long story, but the short story is that we've been buddies for a while, and they want to expand to the West Coast, and they think Rockage is a they came to Rockage last year and helped me out. They all volunteered, And they loved it, and they think it's got the same spirit that MAGFest does, which is MAGFest is a music and gaming festival. If you guys don't know about that, I'm pretty sure that's pretty well known now, though. But yeah, no, it's they just like the idea of it, and they see Rockage as an opportunity just to get their feet wet on the West Coast. And eventually, they're looking to start MAGWest, which will be kind of a MAGFest on the West Coast.
Maybe me calling that MAGFest East wasn't such a bad thing if that's where this is going. Let's see. We'll see. The plot thickens. So MAGFest relationship aside, this is your fourth year of doing this event. So what are some ways that things have changed from year to year with your event?
So many things. We started off at a place called the San Jose Women's Club. So now we've got a bigger venue now. And we're at San Jose State University, so we're working with the college now. Mm-hmm. Again, MAGFest involvement means we can have bigger bands and, you know, bigger stage and all that stuff. We have three stages, which is new to the whole event. We used to just have one. So we've expanded on that. We have a bunch of panels now, too. And we actually have some composers coming from video game music as well, like Dale North. He's going to be hanging out and doing a panel. So that kind of stuff. We just expanded in every nerdy direction. We have a tabletop area now this year, too, and a karaoke lounge and things like that. So
karaoke?
It's going every different way.
Uh-oh, karaoke. I'm in trouble if that's a thing. That sounds awesome. I'm looking forward to coming down there. I'm going to try to get down there at least for the day on Saturday and check that out. So I'm definitely looking forward to that to myself. What are some of the bands I'm going to be seeing if I come down there for a day?
Well, some of the bands that are playing at MAGFest that I just saw the last couple of days that are also playing Rockage, one of the ones I should mention is a band called Bit Brigade. Are you familiar with the band and their whole thing, their speedrunning the game?
No, I have to admit, I haven't heard of this.
All right, well, there's this band, Bit Brigade. They're from Athens, Georgia, and their lead gamer, instead of having a lead singer, they have a lead gamer, and Noah McCarthy is an amazing speedrunner, and he speedruns classic Nintendo games, and the rest of the band plays the exact soundtrack while he's speedrunning the game. So every time he goes into a new stage or a new area and the music changes, they change the music right there and then, and he can beat games like Zelda and Metroid and Castlevania and Contra really fast.
That sounds
so quite
awesome.
An experience.
That sounds like they used to do something like that at the Video Games Live concert. I'm sure you've seen this at some point. They would do
Correct.
Something like that.
Yep.
But this sounds like that kind of turned up to 11. Something like that.
I watched him do Metroid last night. Yeah, it's great. Really, it's amazing. It's almost like performance art. I watched them play Metroid last night. They beat him in minutes, and anything could happen. And so he didn't have enough missiles to fight Mother Brain, so he had to keep killing Metroids at the end. And everyone was like getting squirmy and stuff, but he finally got his missiles replenished, and he took out Mother Brain. But he could have died. He could have fallen in the lava and got stuck or glitched out. So it's kind of exciting to see him, fighting with that. So you never know what's going to happen. So that's why I like that the banner below.
Awesome.
Bit Brigade will be doing Metroid on Saturday night at Rockage, and they'll be doing Zelda on Friday night.
Oh my gosh, that's going to be a trip to see. I can't wait. That sounds awesome. And actually, Bit Brigade's getting a lot of love in our chat room right now. Black Wolf pointing out that Bit Brigade's from his area. And Tiger Claw saying, I've seen Bit Brigade performing at PAX last year on the live stream. They played Legend of Zelda music. So it sounds like we're going to get a version of that at Rockage. That'll be awesome, but live and in person. Some folks in chat kind of joking that at Rockage, there's not going to be a chance that we'll get snowed out in San Jose. So if you if you're worried about that, that will not happen at Rockage. No snowing out there. That's good.
Correct. Yes. But we will be live streaming Rockage as well.
Oh, cool.
We'll tweet out the link or something. So if those of you that can't make it all the way to San Jose, you'll be able to see that Zelda and Metroid speedrun each night by Bit Brigade, as well as the other 41 bands performing.
That is awesome. So you are going to stream this all live. Where should folks be following you on Twitter and online, especially since we do have a worldwide audience, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that aren't going to be able to get to San Jose on 2 weeks' notice. How can they follow you online?
Oh, on Twitter, it's just Rockage SJ. for San Jose. So Rockage SJ. It's Rock with an A-G-E and an S-J. That's our Twitter. So or Facebook, it's just Rockage SJ as well. Those awesome. Are two good spots.
Awesome. Well, speaking of our chat room, we want to invite some of our live listeners and participants to submit some questions. If you guys have anything you want to know about Rockage or any questions in general for Eric, ask them in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. And we have a listener, Cecilla. I hope I'm saying this correct. I'm so sorry. Sometimes some of these names I don't see very often, I tend to butcher, so I'm sorry. Says, hey, Eric, this is Cecilla from Pasadena. What should I expect as a newcomer to Rockage? That's a good question.
Lots of music, potentially lots of amazing burritos in San Jose. If you haven't been to San Jose before, there's some amazing food around the area. And, just a lot of retro games as well. That's, for newcomers of Rockage, that's what you should expect.
Awesome. come for the games and the music, stay for the burritos. I love it.
I think they go hand in hand. Yes.
Going to our chat room, we have another live listener here. Locked On Gamer asked this question. I'm not sure if this is something you can really answer. Maybe a little taste here. Any chance MAGFest could come to Canada? I don't know if you can speak on MAGFest's behalf, but
yeah, I don't know if I have the authority to approve that then and here and right there and now. But I'd love to try it, but I will bring it up to the gang. How about that? Thanks for asking that question, though, because that is another spot that we have not. What do you guys have going on in Canada? Do you guys know of any stuff? There's no PAX in Canada yet, correct?
Not yet. Not that I'm aware of.
Hmm. Yeah, there's got to be some stuff, you guys. Some conventions and festivals you guys got.
I know a lot of folks from Vancouver dip down for PAX Prime because that's not that far for them.
For sure.
But that's about the only thing I can think of. I can't think of a big gaming event. I know of a show, Video Game Realness, out in Toronto, and they cover a few things, but I can't think of any huge, huge expos I know of that I've heard in Toronto. At least not yet. Although I'm sure there's some Toronto listener that's screaming their head off at me right now. I'm sorry. I can barely keep tabs on things happening in my neighborhood. I'm so sorry. So. Let's see. Going to some other questions here in chat. Cecilla with another good question here. Cecilla from Pasadena says, what kind of panels should I expect at Rockage?
Oh, that's a good question. We have a couple of cool panels that are unique to Rockage. The Earthbound USA panel, I recommend. Jeff Benson's making an Earthbound documentary. Wow. So he's going to be showing a trailer and doing a Q&A. That movie's going to come out next year, I believe, but that's kind of one of our if you only see one panel, that's the one to see. We also have a Mega Thread panel. Shouts out to everyone listening from the Mega Thread. That is the band Narboots, their own personal panel, which I don't even know. Last time they ended up feeding everyone nachos, which is an interesting concoction of itself. So yeah, lots of music and gaming panels at Rockage. And Earthbound USA would be the one to see, I think, if you only see one.
Awesome. Well, Eric, I am looking forward to the event, and I'm definitely going to dip down there and check it out for a day. Sadly, I can't stay the whole time because I got to get back here and do another episode of OLR. But
Sunday.
You've got me very, very interested in a lot of the stuff going on. I'll try to check out at least the live stream on Sunday, if nothing else, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be doing. So one more time, how can folks get tickets to Rockage if they want to check it out?
Okay, well, our website is rockagesj.com, and we are also on Twitter at rockagesj, and we're also on Facebook at rockagesj, also through the magfest.org website. We're in, like, the upper right-hand corner, I believe. And, again, it's just 42 bands, and this is something that I put together just because I love music and video games, and I think that it's something that people that even have just an interest in one or the other, they'll find that they collide on the dance floor. So music and video games coexisting in a rock setting. So perfect.
I love it.
Thanks for having me on the show. And I hope everyone does end up coming to Rockage because we have plenty of burritos for everyone.
Well, if you're promising burritos, I have to have to accept. Hey, real quick, I got a couple other just quick questions before I let you go, because one more came in here in chat. I really like this question from Continuum Kingdom. Wants to know in our chat, how many people are you expecting at this event? How many people are attending?
Well, last year Rockage had around 1,000, but with the MAGFest involvement, we're looking to definitely bring bring more folks. Just to compare, MAGFest right now just hit 18,000 people in
wow.
right here in Maryland, where I am right now.
Wow.
Rockets is still a relatively newer event, and so we're looking at anywhere between 1,500 and 2,000 people.
That is nothing to blink at. That's a lot of people. That's amazing. That's especially just for the fourth year of the event. That's a great pull. And one more question for you, because we always ask our guests on the show this question. I know you're busy being at MAGFest right now, but I also know you're a gamer at heart. I mean, you do this because you love music and you love video games. What video games are you playing right now?
I'm terribly addicted to Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, the new version of it, the 2.0. I play on the Marlboro server, and the beginning of Rockage started as a link shell on Final Fantasy XI. That was just a link shell, and it became an idea that eventually we could have it in real life, and then we started the festival known as Rockage now. So there are the roots. There you go. There's your roots of Rockage, and I'm playing Final Fantasy XIV now, and I'm severely addicted.
Eric, you have a lot in common with the hosts of OLR. Loki and I spent a lot of late nights, and Jamie, a lot of late nights on Final Fantasy XI. And right now enjoying the before the fall patch on Midgarsimer. Unfortunately, is the server I'm on, but this patch is all about our server, apparently. So,
yep, I went to FanFest a couple months back. I don't know if you guys got to go to that. In
yes,
Vegas?
I was there.
It's so much fun. I hope they do it every year. And those of you that haven't given the 2.0 version of Final Fantasy XIV a try, it's a lot better than 1.0. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. So any chance we can see the primals at Rockage 5.0?
Oh, I wish. I'll ask Soken.
All right. Sounds good. All right, Eric, I'm going to let you get back to MAGFest. Thanks for taking some time out to talk to us. Get back to the fun going on out there in Maryland.
Thanks so much for having me. See you guys around.
All right, take care. See you in a couple weeks. Bye.
Bye.
All right, that was so awesome. Thank you, Eric, for joining. Who knew that Eric was a fellow Final Fantasy XIV addict? I feel redeemed in some ways for my own addiction to Final Fantasy XIV by hearing that I'm not alone, that you can put together a ravingly successful, attended by possibly up to 2,000 people this year, festival about music and games, and still be addicted to Final Fantasy XIV. Again, if you want to check that out, Rockage SJ is their name most places. You want to check them out on Twitter, rockagesj.com, which I think links to their Tumblr, which is Rockage SJ. And yes, I'm going to try and get out there to the event myself next week, or sorry, 2 weeks, and check that out. So awesome. Thank you again, Eric, for your time, and best of luck with the event this week. All right, we're going to move on for now into trying to cover some of the gaming news that happened this past week with you guys, of course. Don't go anywhere if you want to continue to chat with us about the week's news. And we will be taking your calls later on in the show over at 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, if you want to get us added before we get to the Skype calls later on in the show in about an hour and a half. But we're going to get through our gaming weeks and what is happening around the world in gaming news.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase CAKE.
Let's start off with our gaming weeks, though, real quick, and talk about the games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura.
As I was leaving, I was downloading the demo for Monster Hunter 4. On DS. I've been playing a little Final Fantasy XIV. I am also on my second playthrough of Dragon Age Inquisition, and now there are mods. I have been happily modding my game. I've also been playing The Legend of Zelda on the Game Boy Micro, because I actually fished out the Micro because I was showing it to people at work because they had never seen one.
The Micros kind of came and went. Like, yeah. If you didn't buy one in the 6 months they were out, it was gone.
Yeah, and you remember how many E3s I took that thing with me, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Nintendo has released a console with an interchangeable faceplate in the U.S. before.
Yes, it has.
Yes, they have.
It was Game Boy Micro.
I forgot about that.
But I've been playing a little bit of The Legend of Zelda on that one, and really just writing fan fiction since I got the writing bug. So that's it.
All righty.
And Bejeweled.
Of course. Can't do anything without a little bit of Bejeweled here and there. Loki.
I played games this week. So I finally platinumed Lego Marvel Super Heroes on PlayStation 4. So I don't
Congrats.
Play that anymore. thank God, because that game is so fucking buggy. Like, and I have the most respect for, you know, Traveler Tales, but holy crap, is that game really, like, that is, like, broken buggy in a lot of spots.
But
like,
you were determined to platinum it.
Oh, well, yeah, I got it. But, like, that, like, it was just, it's bad. Like, I've been noticing because Josh plays that game a lot, and I'll sit there and watch him, like, holy crap, dude, they just, like, just didn't give a shit on a lot of this stuff and just said, ah, fuck it, we're just throwing it together and getting it out the door. It's pretty bad in some spots, but I finally finished it, so that's great. Then the other thing I wanted to check out was, you know, because as much as I hate the most recent Saints Row games, and I say hate in the most loving way, because I actually do like the series Saints Row, I just think it's gone in a direction that's, I don't know how they're going to recover from it. I mean, they do okay, but it's certainly not what the game used to be. You know, about like an ultra violent, you know, gang that just like enacts revenge on people in the most violent ways. Now it's like some superhero crazy alien bullshit. I don't know what kind of game. It's still fun. So I played Get Out of Hell, and kind of disappointed once again. It's kind of like how Saints Row 4 was, where Saints Row 4 seemed to be kind of rushed. It just very haphazard. It's very, like, kind of just, like, we didn't put a lot of effort into it. Like, Saints Row 4, they kept the same map pretty much as Saints Row 3, except they added some crap to it. And at least Get Out of Hell has a brand new map, so props to them for that. And it runs great on the PlayStation 4, but it's fucking short. Like, I finished the game already, and I think in less than, like, 4 hours. And there's no real, I mean, there's a story to it, but there's no, like, I can't just do missions. Like, usually you can do the story missions and kind of progress through that. It's just, oh, you do the activity stuff, and, oh, hey, look, here we're going to do a story mission now because you've completed X number of activities or whatever, and now we're doing the story mission. And then, like, all of a sudden, it was, like, the end, and I'm like, that was it? Wow. Okay, and then you choose your ending, and it all kind of sucks. So, whatever. However, it did bring up an interesting idea, because they have like several different endings in there, and one of which is like, oh, here, you know, here's possibly how we're going to reboot the series. You know, basically the end, you know, Johnny gets to make a deal with God, and he gets one of like a few different outcomes, and one of which is to retcon the whole series and go back to the roots. So that could still be canon if they ended up rebooting the series. But I don't know. At least his character is interesting. I think they've just gotten a little too silly, and it just kind of, I don't know. It's entertaining, but it's certainly not what the game series was, and I'm kind of interested to see where it's going to go from there. That aside, since I'm going to probably try to 100% the game, since I'm already halfway there anyways after 4 hours, and that is a little disappointing. Even though the game was $20, it's still, you know, I don't know. I bought it with the Saints Row 4 remake that they did. And if it runs as well as it does on, you know, Get Out of Hell, I'm kind of interested in that because it runs way better than on my laptop. So that should be cool. But they've had these, like, flash sales on PlayStation Network. And I have to say, I'm starting to treat them like I do with Steam, where there's shit on there. I was like, ooh, it's only a few dollars. I'm going to buy that. You know, like they had Shadow Warrior, the remake done by Devolver Digital, right. And that's like a $40 game back in October, and it was $4. I'm like, fuck, I can't pass that up. But I have it in Steam already, and it's starting to do. I'm like, ooh, Ollie, I'm gonna pick that up for $3. Or hey, ooh, there's this other game. What was it? It was Strike Suit Zero. I think Strike Suit Zero or something like that. I don't know, but it's like, ooh, I got to pick all these up. Like, I'm never going to play them. I have, like, a list of, like, games on my, you know, PlayStation Network that it's starting to look like my Steam library. And I've been buying everything digitally, which is weird because I, like, hated the idea of, like, buying stuff digitally, but I'm just so lazy to
that
get
convenience is awfully tempting, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And especially now that they're marking shit down that low.
Yeah.
It's very tempting because I check the sales every week, and there's stuff on there that, like, fuck, for $4.
Hey, Sony, you know, and Microsoft are competing with Steam now. It's pretty win-win for the rest of us, you know?
Exactly. So awesome. I'm digging it.
All right, anything else for your gaming week?
That's it so far. I worked on my game, but that's about it.
My gaming week, you know, I was out of town for a week, so outside of my one trip to the arcade where I got to play stuff like Technica 3 and Papa Music, I didn't play a lot, except on the plane. I also would play a bit of Bejeweled in those typical, like, iPad, iPhone games, in airplane mode, of course. But I did get hands-on with a few other things here at home, not too extensively, but I picked up a game that some of the listeners have been, at least one listener called in and said, you need to play this game. And so I actually got to watch a friend of mine play this as well the other day, and I was convinced that I needed to pick up Fantasy Life on the 3DS. And Fantasy Life is a game by Level 5, which made, you know, of course, Ni No Kuni, White Knight Chronicles, I believe Yo-Kai Watch is their game as well, which isn't here in the States yet, but it's huge in Japan. So I picked up Fantasy Life. I'm not really far enough into the game where I feel comfortable, quote-unquote, reviewing it per se, but if you're not aware of the game, it's kind of like, I don't know if I want to say Animal Crossing meets JRPG. However, it definitely feels like, you know, you're put into this game. You can choose between 12 different jobs, some of them being crafting and some other things, which feels maybe a little bit, funny enough, as Eric said earlier, Final Fantasy 14 might feel a little bit of that to me, where you can switch from one job to the other and kind of help your other jobs out by doing that. And you're in this town, and, you know, you're like a kid growing up, and you can go out into the world and you do all these little quests. You can do quests for people. You can do little achievements, like mini achievements that will give you perks, like a bigger bag and all these other things. So, yeah, there's a lot of I guess there's a lot of different grinds to it, which may turn some people off. But I also see where those kind of grinds, you know, that's kind of what an MMO essentially is totally made out of. And that can also be very therapeutic, I think, in some ways. So I will say I'm enjoying very much what I'm playing of Fantasy Life so far. But admittedly, it isn't much. I'm only like an hour into the game. I think I finally got it where I finished my little wizard quest. I got my wizard robes and hat. I got all that.
It sounds like, see, now I haven't played it yet, but It sounds to me like a lot like Rune Factory. That, like, it's like an RPG spinoff of Harvest Moon.
Well, the reason why I called it Animal Crossing is that you can do a lot of quests for the villagers, but instead of like, oh, go take Superb Owl my couch, you know, and this whole thing, it's more like, can you go out and fetch me 5 cow milk things from the wilderness, you know, things like that. So you actually are doing more like JRPG style fetch quests. But then, like, you can spend the money that you get on furniture for your room. So, and you can even one of the perks that you get is you can adopt a dog or a cat type of thing, so you can get a pet. So, you know, there's those types of grinds built into it too. So I'm enjoying it so far, though. I'm glad it was recommended to me and then finally basically placed in front of me saying, you need to see this game. And I finally looked at it and I'm like, oh yeah, I probably would like this.
Did Shane push it on you?
Actually, it wasn't Shane. It was my friend Christine, who I don't think listens to OLR. But she was actually the one that showed it to me. She was over here yesterday and we were on a quick road trip and she was like, oh yeah, you got to check out this game. And she showed it to me and I was like, oh yeah, this does seem like my type of game. And I even remembered that we had a call where somebody had said it was one of their top games of the year last year. And I was like, oh yeah. And I have Nintendo fans on Twitter who all rave about it. So I was like, okay, yeah, I've definitely heard of this. And I was like, oh, it's by the Ni No Kuni guys. No wonder we all are liking this game. So, and I liked White Knight Chronicles more than most people did. So I find this game to be a little bit like that, up my alley. Bobby Blackwolf in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, a lot of people compare it to Rune Factory. Yes, more Rune Factory than Animal Crossing. Pow in chat says, Fantasy Life is awesome. I love how bossy and bitter the fairy is. Yeah, I gotta say, even in the short hour I've played, there's some very sassy, tongue-in-cheek localization humor going on in there. I like it. It's kind of like geared towards kids, but there's definitely that adult level too. So I have to say I like the script in the game as well. So far I'm feeling very good about Fantasy Life. I will check in with you guys next week when I've put a little more hours in the game under my belt. All right, let's move on. Some quick housekeeping. We don't have any shows off in the near future, so we'll be coming to you every week in February. The next show I would see that we could be gone or taping in advance would be during PAX East, which is coming up in March. We may be delayed or something that week. We'll see. But I'll let you guys know as the weeks go on. Otherwise, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. Let's get into tonight's news. There was a bit of news this week, wasn't there? Microsoft had a lot to say, didn't they?
It was definitely a big news week. And yeah. I remember seeing, like, you know, the schedule saying, oh, hey, there's going to be that Windows 10 announcement and everything. But what the big thing out of Microsoft's thing, and it shouldn't really be a shock to you if you've been following Microsoft's movements, especially if you remember back, and this is almost, God, I don't even remember how many years now it's been, but that leak that they had about, you know, kind of their, you know, step-by-step game plan for the next generation of game systems, starting with Kinect, where they had the Kinect, the Xbox One, and all that stuff that leaked out. And then one of the things that they were showing with the Kinect was this kind of holographic VR-type gameplay. And everyone's like, well, what the hell is that going to be? Well, this is what it is. HoloLens, the thing that they announced. It's basically augmented reality glasses that you wear, and it hooks up to a computer, or it may actually be a computer, and basically augments your world that you live in with whatever the fuck you want. Like, they've showed different examples, obviously no, you know, real gameplay yet, but like they had, like, you know, Minecraft in your living room that, you know, everything kind of adapts to your environment and everything, so, you know, it knows where the walls are. And they had in the little teaser video, someone blows up their wall and sees, like, the Minecraft world outside, you know, kind of gimmicky shit like that. But other, you know, things like, you know, Windows related stuff like modeling, 3D modeling, they had a demonstration using that, and that was pretty cool. Basically, you know, kind of, it's going to be used for gaming and for other things. I don't know, kind of a neat idea. I think it's a little bit different than, say, you know, VR stuff. And I think, I don't know, maybe a little bit easier to adopt for people for VR, but I'm very cautious about it considering how they had, like, a cool teaser video before for Kinect when that first came out. I was like, wow, that's going to be so amazing. And it was so amazingly not that. So I kind of want to see what this is. But to go along with that, you know, other announcements they had, you know, the Windows 10 stuff, integration for Xbox One, where you're going to be able to stream your gameplay to, you know, to your system and that kind of fun stuff. And plus, Windows 8, or for Windows 8 and Windows 7 users, Windows 10 is free, so that, I like free, because I'm not going to buy Windows 10. It better not be fucking broken either.
Well, when you consider, you know, Apple has a huge mobile operating system that they do give away for free. You know, it's starting to make paying $100 for Windows look less and less, you know, appealing. Though, granted, I believe Apple charges a small amount for the desktop OSs. I can't remember. I haven't had a working Apple laptop in forever, but...
I can answer this question.
Okay.
Anything that is 10.8 and earlier has a charge on it, but you cannot buy anything older than 10.6.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So there is still charges for some things on Apple, but we have seen Apple give away upgrades for free, especially on the mobile front. That's for sure.
I do want to get this. I mean, it looks pretty cool. Yeah. Just, but once again, I'm very cautious because, you know, with Kinect, remember Kinect, they were showing like all this cool shit that you could do with it, and it's still not even.
You remember, like, when
you
could scan the skateboard and give it to
Milo?
Yeah,
scan the skateboard, and they even had, like, was it, you know, oh, I'm trying on outfits. That stuff I see now is something you could probably do with maybe HoloLens or something, where it's like, okay, you know, I'm seeing my, you know, the clothes augmented on, you know, to my body or whatever, that type of thing. But I just don't see, especially after two iterations of Kinect, and it's still not what they were promising. I'm very cautious.
This is interesting to me. You know, this competition is kind of fun, and I think a lot of us have been waiting to see what's Microsoft's response going to be to the Oculus, to the Morpheus. You know, what's Microsoft's response going to be to that? So it is interesting to see this direction that they're going in, which is different. I mean, yes, it's let's put a helmet on my head and see what, you know, the world around me looks like through this, you know, these glasses. But, you know, with the holograph, that's going to be very different than the VR experience. So I kind of like that, where it's like, okay, they're both, you know, put your helmet on the head experiences, but they're still very different.
Yeah, one is more, it seems like, you know, at least you're able to see your surrounding environment and everything. Right. You can kind of do your own stuff along with it. And it's just kind of like, oh, hey, I want this Windows Media Player screen to be on this part of the wall or something like that. My worry is I've tried a lot of different AR stuff, you know, with the 3DS, with, you know, even the Kinect and even, you know, the Vita, my phone, and it's just very derpy.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Here's where I stand with HoloLens myself is that, you know, I wasn't really a believer in Oculus Rift until I got to try it. You know, at Dragon Con a couple years ago, Bobby bought his whole little, you know, Dev Kit 1 or whatever it was, and actually showed me, like, the roller coaster thing and the walking around the house and all this stuff. You know, he actually showed off some of the demos, and I was like, all right, I kind of get this. And this does work a lot better than you think it would. And so I was on board with Oculus. And certainly getting to play the Morpheus at E3 this year, I really like that Sony has thought about, how is this going to work for the other people in the room? Because if you're sitting there with the glasses on your head, nobody else can see that experience but for you. So that's why they have that whole separate little box. So it seems like they're going to be able to project the image on the TV as well as the glasses. So I like that Sony's kind of going that direction with it, where it's going to be more of, I guess, maybe a party, you know, type of thing. So that's really neat to see. And certainly getting to play the little, like, bobsledding in traffic little demo that they had on the Morpheus, that was really cool. So that was neat. So I think I kind of need that same experience for HoloLens, because like you, I'm left a little skeptical with all these promises with what Kinect is supposed to do, and then it ends up, it's a bunch of dancing games and aerobics type stuff. I may be selling it a little short. I understand that in some of the professional fields and in medicine, you know, Kinect has been to thank for some advances in that regard.
Yeah, that's
regard.
Fine, but...
But keep in mind, first and foremost, this is a gaming show. I'm worried about gaming techniques. And so, you know, this HoloLens, granted, was shown at a Windows show, so they're thinking more things necessarily than just Minecraft. But I'm curious to see, you know, I need to see what that's really going to look like for gaming before I know, oh, do I need to put down all this money?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is they're talking about, like, this basically combining all their different platforms, and that's just going to be Windows 10. Like, the Xbox One, it's just, oh, it's got Windows 10 on it now. Which, I don't know how I feel about that, but we'll see. I don't know.
And Bobby's in our chat room saying, using AR on a handheld device is a little bit different than using it as a headset. That is very true, Loki. You do have to try it for yourself before I think you can really say, this is Oculus Rift or this. Because you just can't, unless you've seen
okay.
it. You just can't.
I get it.
Yeah.
But my take on it, and I'm not doubting that it could be really good, mm-hmm. but my take on it is, this is what, in the past, with their last big thing
sure.
with Kinect, this is what they promised me,
sure.
and the end result
That's
was
fair.
Crap. You know, it wasn't
and I
anything
have a,
near
and
that.
That is my same concern, is that I feel like the Kinect on 360 that we were supposed to be getting wasn't really until the Kinect on Xbox One that we saw that.
And even on the Xbox One, I'm not sure if it's still quite... where we need it to be.
Microsoft failed at convincing people they needed one. That's why they kind of got their butt kicked in the beginning. I mean, I realize they're doing better now. They did very well in their November, December sales, you know, especially with the price cut and disconnecting Kinect and everything. But you know, I don't think it's out of place to say that Microsoft failed in making people understand why they needed a Kinect. They were not able to connect with the audience.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Let's move on. Moving on to another story that sort of has to do with this whole event as well, and this does tie it to gaming, is that there seemed to be an awful lot of teasing at the various, you know, displays and so forth with Windows 10 for Battletoads. During the Windows 10 live stream, I know, Phil Spencer showed up to talk about games. And he was wearing a Battletoads shirt. This is the latest in several little hints and drops that Battletoads may be a thing on Xbox One. And I kind of feel like we're getting to that point where at E3, Microsoft is going to announce Battletoads is coming to the Xbox One. You all have missed it. Here comes Battletoads.
No.
And we're going to see Twitter light up everywhere. I called it. You heard it from my mouth first.
Like, Battletoads coming to Windows Mobile 10.
Jamie, you're groaning over there, though. You're not a fan?
The game's evil. I like it, but it's evil.
It's just the difficulty.
It is evil, and I love it.
Yeah. I'm... I could see, like, if they were to do a new Battletoads game, it'll probably be like, they're going to make it more accessible. They're going to make
it... Oh, fuck that. That is... Nope, that's not Battletoads.
They will.
I'm sorry. No.
I'm telling you, they'll want to make it more appealing to kids, because they don't really have Viva Pinata anymore, so that they need a kiddie franchise, so they're going to probably try to
make
Battletoads like
that. They're going to fucking Sonic Boom this shit is what they're going to do, right?
But I could also see that very easily they would have a moat, because they can't just kidify it. I think people would react exactly the way you do. I think there will be some type of difficulty switch where it's like original, new and retro difficulty or something.
If you're not feeling ragey enough to throw your controller, it's not Battletoads, I'm afraid. It's just like, because that's the point. The point of the game is that you get so frustrated with it, but then once you finally do it, you're like, yes. And then you get to an even harder level, and then you're like, fuck. I have to play that level again.
I think Phil Spencer is very tuned into his audience, and you have to admit, you know, whether you're a lover or a hater or somewhere in the middle of Xbox One, it's been doing better under his leadership. And I think a lot of that is because of the fact that he's really tuned into the gaming audience, and he's a little more connected to, you know, what the gamers really want. So I have to admit, when he makes the conscious choice at a big event to wear a Battletoads shirt, he's sending a message that he knows he's sending, and it's getting people talking, if nothing else. And maybe he's just trying to prove that there's interest out there for Battletoads. Who knows? But I think there's a damn good possibility that is what we're going to see at E3 this year. Although I would expect that Microsoft's focus this year will be on Crackdown, because, you know, that was the big thing they unveiled last year that we need to see.
Yes,
you know,
please.
That should be releasing this
year. More of that, please.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping Quantum Break as well. We get the, but this might be the year to tease Battletoads for 2016.
God, I want Crackdown so bad.
We'll see. Yes, I know. All right. Would Jamie be willing to at least give Battletoads a chance in 2016? Or,
nope.
Huh?
Nope.
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 Seriously, what's up with Saints Row 4 ripping off on Battletoads? Or not Battletoads, on Crackdown. You know, with the glowing orbs and shit. That is totally ripping on Crackdown.
All right. Let's see. And going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Pow in chat says, Battletoads connect. Fingers crossed.
Oh, you know what?
What's that?
I will tell you this. I already play Mass Effect and Dragon Age, and I don't need something else to make me cry.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, the arcade version was actually a little bit easier, if I recall correctly.
I did play through the arcade version on my MAME cabinet. It was fun.
Raginator says, Battletoads t-shirt, Half-Life 3 confirmed. Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Well, there are three toads in it, so yes.
Let's travel around the world and check out...
Wait.
What?
They should have a level called Toad in the Hole, since it's like food.
All right, let's travel around the world and check out the release dates of games coming a little sooner than a new Battletoads. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Jamie. Did I skip your story?
Yeah, you did.
Whoops, my bad.
I'm just not going to do it now.
Stop throwing a fit. My bad.
Well, there is actually something a bit more about the Windows 10 technical preview, is that they're going to throw in a preview of the Xbox One app in the January build. So there will be a way, I guess, to have more integration with your Live account and all this other stuff. Basically, they said that they're focusing on the basics, including you know, making sure that the app is going to be on spot and have everything that people are going to need for their Live accounts. So,
are you interested in Windows 10 after all the stuff you're hearing
about? No. Well, the other thing they said, they're also going to work on including streaming from Xbox One to PC. And I'll tell you this, all of this is actually making me glad that I'm moving to OS 10.
Why though?
Just because I can't talk about it.
Well, I can't hate on, though. Well, let's focus on the dislike of the streaming between Xbox One and PC, because I it's an additional feature to me. I'm like, okay, it doesn't seem like such a bad thing. I'm not sure how it's a negative.
But I want a computer that does computer things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm going to... I don't want to have... that I don't want to have a crossover with the console when I am playing specifically on a computer for the sake of playing on a computer.
It does make me think, though, and this is probably a little bit of a pie in the sky idea, and people are going to tell me how wrong I am. However, let me dream for a minute here that I would love this if I could take, like, Halo 5, let's say, on my Xbox One and stream it to my computer so I could use keyboard and mouse on my computer when I play Halo 5. That would be awesome.
I can see that, but the whole thing is that if you look at it this way, though, it's almost as if they're trying to force more people that, hey, we've already got a PC. The only console that's going to work with this is going to be this Xbox. Mm. We need you to get our items so that you can get full integration with your system. Mm. Rather than, you know, apps out there that are all, oh, well, if you have this here, you get something for your PlayStation. We're going to see an end of that. You know, it's all going to be down to, I honestly think it's going to be a lot more of a pushing agenda. That, and honestly, we may be looking at too little too late. There have been others that have been innovating on stuff like this well before they have.
Hmm. I guess there was the whole fact that you can stream to the Vita from the PlayStation 4. But again, I'm not, I see it as more of like, okay, this is just something extra. I may never use it, but I guess kind of cool that I can do that. And we have seen this already talked about going the other way. And Steam has been talking about certainly doing the streaming to the televisions based off what's on your PC through the whole Steam box. So, I mean, this just kind of seems like another step in that direction. But I think I would only really use it if I could do something like what I just mentioned with sudden keyboard and mouse controls for certain games. I don't know.
Yeah. It honestly just seems like they're going, oh, us too, mm-hmm. when other people have been doing all these things already. Hmm. And then bringing out the whole HoloLens thing to kind of distract from, oh, other people have already been doing
this. I got to be honest.
This HoloLens is kind of different, though.
I'm totally down for, streaming to my laptop. For my game system and stuff, because my wife tends to use the TV when I want to play games, and that'd be awesome. I wish all the systems would stream to my PC. I mean, I don't know why they can't. If a Vita can run a PlayStation 4 game, surely a laptop can run a PlayStation 4 game
stream. Depending on your laptop. But that's okay. If your laptop can run Windows 10, then it can do it, right?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just, I would love to have that feature, just if anything, so I wouldn't have to set up an elaborate setup to be able to play my game.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll see more about what this is going to entail in the future as Windows 10 preview builds come out and people actually get their hands on this stuff when it's unlocked. All right, now I've got the airship out front ready to go and travel around the world and check out what will be coming out a little sooner than Windows 10 or Battletoads or any of that stuff next week around the world in gaming releases, starting in the U.S., Loki.
Hey, you got some parkour in my zombie game, so Dying Light will be coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this week. And if you're not into Dying Light and may have a Vita, then Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth Sisters Generation will be coming to the Vita. That would be it.
Well, going to Japan, we're finally starting to see some releases. I know things were a little slower in the beginning of the month, but in Japan this week on the PlayStation 4, we get Bladestorm, The Hundred Years War and Nightmare, as well as Far Cry 4 getting its Japanese release this week on the 29th. On the Xbox One, Bladestorm is coming out there as well, although I notice Far Cry is absent, so I don't know if it's just not releasing over there or what the deal is. Over on the Wii U, we get nothing until Mario Party 10 in March. So the Wii U releases over in Japan are a little bit slow right now. But on the 3DS, you have a few more things going on, including Ace Combat 3D, Cross Rumble Plus, Devil Survivor 2 Break Record, and Yawamushi Pedal, Ashita Ino High Cadence, comes out from Bandai Namco this week in Japan on the 3DS. And last but not least, looking at the Vita. The Vita this week has there's a lot of crap on the Vita this week, actually. Diabolic Lovers, More Blood Limited Edition V. That's, of course, a limited edition game. Hitosu Tabashi Rinai V in regular and limited edition. Kokujo no Psychedelica in regular and limited edition. You know they love their limited editions over there. More than we do here. And Kurogane Kaiketan Senai Ichiya comes out in regular and limited edition in Japan this week, all on the Vita. Busy week on the Vita in Japan. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
We have a few things. On January 27th, we have Hyper Dimension Neptunia Rebirth 2. On the 29th, we have Heroes of Might and Magic 3 HD Edition for iPad, PC, and Android. On the 30th, we have Life is Strange on several systems, and Saints Row 4 Reelected, and Unmechanical Extended on Xbox One.
All right, just a few more stories for you guys, then we'll get to the classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
So, can't say we didn't call this or have been seeing this for a long time now, but finally it has happened to a certain extent. But the Elder Scrolls Online no longer will have the subscription fee. That's right. It's going, well, not free to play, but buy to play. So basically you purchase the game and then you get to play for free month to month, which is kind of cool. And it will be coming out on consoles June 9th. And according to... I guess according to ZeniMax, they're going to be dropping the subscription to the service on PC March 17th. And now it will be rebranded as the Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited. And they still have the option to, you know, pay a monthly fee if you want, you know, extra content and that kind of stuff.
So I really went off on this on Horde House this week. It's because everybody's reporting it as free to play, but it's not free to play when you're still charging for the base game. DC Universe and what's another big one out there?
Guild Wars?
No, Guild Wars actually isn't free to play either. Guild Wars has a huge sale right now. Guild Wars 2 specifically has a huge sale right now.
I may or may not have spent $15 on the deluxe edition.
Taking the plunge on that, yeah. But you have to pay that one-time fee, and then you are... playing the game without a monthly subscription. It's basically subscription free. So, I mean, they're still going to be charging $60 for this game. But, you know, what's the difference between that and something like Destiny?
True.
Destiny, you pay $60 and then you can play online as much as you want. And then how do they get even more money out of you? Through expansions. And that's exactly what Elder Scrolls Online is going to do. It's going to be through expansions. And they'll be like, oh, but if you have a sub fee, then you can get these crowns for the cosmetic items. And then we'll give you all these expansions we're going to do for free. I think it's a better model for the game. And I think especially now that it's entering the console market, I think that's what a lot of console gamers expect. Subscription games on consoles doing well are very, very, very rare. And they're pretty much always preceded by Final Fantasy if they still carry a subscription fee on a console. I can't. Can you even think of any console games that carry subscription fees right now that are not named Final Fantasy? I can't think of one. I know there's free-to-play MMOs, but I'm talking you got to buy the game and pay a subscription fee on top of that on consoles. I can't think of one. So...
Not anymore, because they used to have some where they were like that, like DC Universe.
The game that Trion did that went free to play that was on 360. They did the sci-fi TV show.
Oh yeah, well that wasn't a monthly fee though.
I thought it was.
No, it was. Oh. That was just like this where you buy it and then you play it.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, Defiance.
Defiance.
But now that's free to play. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, let's see, looking at our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bonds006 says, there is no true free-to-play game. In-app, DLC, or base buys still exist. You know, but some do the free-to-play thing better than others. They really do. You know, some of them, and like EA mobile games have been notorious for being very naggy in buying the currency, like that Ultima game that they did that was awful, some of this other stuff. You know, they have a bit of a reputation
Dungeon
for
Keeper
that.
Or whatever that was.
Yeah, yeah. But then... I look at a game like Path of Exile, which is also free to play, and okay, yeah, they have a lot of stuff that you can pay for that are cosmetic or you know some other things, but I still feel like there's a very rich game experience that you can play start to finish over in Path of Exile that is totally free. And so that's pretty cool. So anyway, maybe that was the free-to-play game, the other one I was trying to think of a minute ago, but yeah, you can download Path of Exile and just play that, whatever. But, yeah, I have to admit, I'm much more interested in Elder Scrolls Online now. I might have to check it out. Star Sakura?
By the way, I would like to rebut.
Mm.
In-app purchases
mm-hmm.
are not a requirement.
True.
You can play a game completely free without choosing to participate in an in-app purchase. Therefore, it remains free.
But, well... Apple actually changed from free to get because of some of the... It's just... It depends on the game. Like, Bejeweled Blitz does a really good job about being like free to play, where you don't like, they don't really shove it down your throat. But the problem is that like the EA games I mentioned, some of them are very much more in your face and make it very, very difficult to do any sort of progression without buying into it.
You still
it
have
so
a choice.
Far. You do. You do. But
it's just a matter of how much more willpower you have than their persuasion.
Ah, I think I know the way to put it. Some people would consider what those games are doing more of a demo than they are a game. And that is a trend I do see in some apps, is that they're free, but it's really just a demo for the first level. And if you want to buy the entire game, well, then you make the purchase inside the app. And I think that's kind of the difference, is that some games really do offer a rich game experience that have these optional things inside. Some are just flat out demos.
I believe they are required to put that in their the body of their description, that it's either a first level, a demo, or it has to say light edition.
I'll have to look up the one that I downloaded not that long ago and see if it did that. So, interesting. All right. Let's see. Looking at chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Dungeon Buster says, never winners free to play, though depending on who you talk to, it's either pay to win because of PvP or pay for convenience if you don't care about PvP. Bonds 006 says, Angry Birds, Plants vs. Zombies, those are called pay to win. Maybe that Garden Warfare game is it's a big hill to climb without doing any in-app purchases, that's for sure. Anyway, let's move on. I got one more story for you guys, then we're going to get to the classic game of the week. And speaking of big purchases, people went crazy for that new Nintendo 3DS Majora's Mask Edition, which I have to admit, I'm going to get the Nintendo hate train rolling over me here because I'm going to say something slightly negative. But I was not really a big fan of Majora's Mask, although I'll probably give the 3D reboot a try because, you know, they really enhance, like, Ocarina of Time and stuff for the 3DS. Nintendo does a very good job at, like, enriching their games when they do the remakes as opposed to just, port, you know, type of thing. But I have no interest in the Majora's Mask 3DS because I kind of think it's ugly. I'm going to get so much slack for that. Well, but that's how I feel. I'm allowed to my opinion. I'm allowed to say this art is ugly, and I think those new 3DSs are ugly.
On top of that, like, I have a problem with, once again, Nintendo trying to make themselves seem more value-friendly by not including the game with the friggin' system.
Well, and I just think this Triforce XL I have is way better. That's a way better Zelda design, in my opinion. But that's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it, and some may disagree.
I do wish the gold on that was as shiny as, like, the original NES game.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
So anyway, a few folks pre-ordered their Nintendo's 3DS Majora's Mask on Best Buy. Well, Best Buy canceled a lot of these pre-orders. And apparently, wow, it's affecting people that only pre-ordered one system. And the retailer started to give out $50 gift cards as a way of saying, oops, sorry about that. The email saying, quote, we're sorry, but there's an issue with your pre-order. The popularity of Nintendo 3DS XL Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask Limited Edition Gold and Black exceeded the quantities made available to Best Buy. As a result, we're unable to fulfill all the pre-orders received. Your pre-order has been canceled, and we know this is disappointing, so we're making it up to you by offering a $50 discount that may be used towards the purchase of one of these alternate options.
I never understood how something that's literally a paint job on a system is, you know, not, they're not able to meet the demand on that. It's like, paint more of them. I mean, that doesn't seem like
or make it capable to sub out the face plates, and then you can have the new face plates on them.
But, you know,
it's not as so much money to be made on that.
Then they wouldn't get the publicity like this.
Yeah.
If, you know, if things, you know, were in, they were able to meet their demands, you know, they're not going to get the publicity. So, of course.
Mm. See, Bonds 006 says, Best Buy already made that money. Physics major in chat says, Majora's Mask is my favorite Zelda title. Very difficult. And, you know, I've heard that from other people,
too. I gotta be honest, they're probably losing a ton of money on that, because there's no markup on game hardware. So they're making maybe a couple bucks off that, and if that, probably losing it in shipping anyway. So they're not making any money off of that.
ActDeft in chat says, the Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate new 3DS looks way more awesome, but sadly it's a GameStop exclusive. Oh, there's a whole nother Oprah about those types of exclusives that go to, like, why does Nintendo, I mean, I guess this is kind of a stupid question, but why does Nintendo keep being up GameStop's ass like this? And maybe it's so GameStop won't kick the Wii U out of the store. Maybe that's what it has to do with, but it's disappointing as a fan. It's really, these sorts of exclusive deals and stuff are just really disappointing. That's really the only word I can think of for it. Sucks. Well, anyway. All right. Let's go back to a time when it was a lot simpler. You know, there was an abundance of games. Wherever you wanted to go, you could go in and find them in a big bin at KB Toys if that's where you wanted to shop for your video games. It's the classic game of the week. And every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking out this game this week. Yes, I know the music isn't playing. I can't find it. What happened to my music for this segment?
I want to know where my list to the thing went, so, huh.
What list did the thing?
I actually accidentally closed Safari.
Oh. Oops. Well, that's awkward. I usually have the cutesy music to play here for Dark Sakura, but it disappeared from my playlist. There it is. I got it back. Live radio and the joys of it. All right. So Dark Sakura is going to step in that gaming vault and find the game that she thinks, hey, you should check out this game this week.
Some cat throw up.
And you will have no problem finding this game.
You were there when I purchased this version. One of the versions I have of this.
I think, yeah. Oh, yes, I was. I know what you're talking about. Yes, I was.
The game of the week is Pac-Land. Now, Pac-Land is not really a great game, but it is iconic. Now, listen to the music for a moment. And tell me if any of you who were kids when I was a kid recognize this music. See?
What? Oh, he got a helmet or something.
Yeah.
It's been forever since I played this. It was like Pac-Man Mario. It was so weird.
It's very weird. Anyway, the music that's playing in the background in both the Japanese and American versions was the music from the American Pac-Man cartoon that was on in the 80s, which wasn't a great cartoon, but it was plenty hilarious. There in Japan it was done by Namco, or as I call it, Namco T, with the T at the end, because it was Namcot. And in the U.S. it was done by Bally Midway, which is now just Midway Games. It came out in 1984 in the arcades. It also was using a new arcade system that was actually called Namco Pac-Land. It used parallax scrolling for some of the different background elements well before it became a regular fixture in 16-bit gaming. There were different variants as I was, you know, differentiating between the American and Japanese ones. In the Japanese version, it actually is one of the first appearances in a game of Pac-Man with his now iconic Namco artwork with the big, you know, big eyes and the longer nose. And he also, in the game, had what was called a Tyrolean hat, which I actually had to go look up, even though I've seen the term before, which is basically a big kind of flat-brimmed hat with a feather in it. It's based off of an Bavarian style. Anyway, the American version started, its differences is that the characters were more based on how the Pac-Man animated series that Hanna-Barbera did, including the differences in the ghosts and the way Pac-Man looked. It was a lot more in tune with what we had in America, better branded, I'd say. And the Midway version, the U.S. one, actually plays faster than the Japanese one. This I can attest to. So the game itself is split into trips. On each of these trips, your goal is to get this fairy that's hiding under Pac-Man's hat to Fairyland. And then get Pac-Man back home. So you move, you know, you scroll left and right. You have to stop ghosts. You can get power pills and, you know, you can eat the ghosts. They turn purple. You have water spurts and quicksand, and each trip has different rounds. So at the end, you get bonus points depending on how much time you have left and your position in jumping at the end of the round. If you run out of time before the round is over, then sue the purple ghost, the lady ghost, remember her? She will actually get really, really fast. So the second to last one, Pac-Man ends up in Fairyland and returning the fairy to the queen, and then Pac-Man is given magical boots, and so the last one, he has to basically travel from right to left to get back home, and he uses the magical boots that let him double jump and do whatnot, and at the end of the game, he's greeted by Ms. Pac-Man and Baby Pac-Man. In the U.S. one, Sourpuss and Chomp Chomp are there. His cat and his dog from the animated series.
Oh.
And then he gets to do the next trip and it gets harder. You also get fruit appearing during the game. Like in the original Pac-Man, it gave you points. You get hidden items, which is actually the flagship from Galaxian. And it gives you 7650 points when you collected, which is the Goro Awase number 765. The flagship also appears in, you know, plenty of other Pac-Man games. There's no actual hidden bonuses. You eat the ghosts in a certain order will give you time. And getting certain obstacles can give you extra lives, invincibility, or balloons. So you get points. You can even warp in some places. You know, basically you had two buttons that move him left or right and a third one that made him jump. On the TurboGrafx-16, they tried to do two different control versions that let you either use the D-pad or type B that used the buttons rather than the D-pad.
I'm watching this guy run it on the little YouTube that you gave us here that will be available if you watch this on the OLR YouTube account. He's doing all these things that I don't remember in the game, like pushing cactuses to make special bonus things appear and all this other stuff. I'm kind of like shocked. I'm like, wow, all this shit was in the game? I didn't realize that. I thought it was just a side scroller.
There were Famicom versions, by the way, and you use A and B to run and the D-pad to jump. Now, there were, of course, other versions, Rob. There was a Commodore 64 version.
I know that. Yeah, yeah.
There was one for the Commodore Amiga, Atari Lynx, the Atari ST, TurboGrafx-16, the ZX Spectrum, and the Amstrad CPC, the MSX, and the NES. And you can also get this on the Wii U Virtual Console. They actually re-released as part of the Namco Museum Volume 4 for PlayStation. There's an LCD version of Pac-Land. In 2012, Namco re-released Pac-Land on the Namco Arcade app for iPhone and iPad. It was included in Pac-Man Museum, and all of the ports that were released out in and out of Japan were based off of the Namco version. However, the Namco Arcade version actually has the Midway version, and also the Midway version appears in the Japanese version of the same app. So you actually have ways that you can play both versions in both countries without having to import.
Interesting.
So that's it. It's Pac-Land.
There it is. Your classic game of the week, Pac-Land. Which, again, the other thing I wanted to say about this game, especially because, you know, unsurprisingly, you chose the TurboGrafx-16 or PC Engine version to show here to demonstrate this game.
I actually like the music better than the arcade one.
Fair enough. But it kind of reminds me that the gameplay is an awful lot like, in some ways, Hudson Adventure Island, which was what? Wonder Boy? Was what it was? That was originally, wasn't that turned into Hudson?
I think it was one of the Wonder Boy games.
Yeah, it was kind of turned into Hudson Adventure Island. Yeah. It kind of has that same, very similar gameplay with the whole mechanic where you have a timer and you make the fruit appear when you are situated a certain way. It just really reminds me of that. So it's kind of another version of that. Anyway,
it's not really a bad game.
Oh,
it's
no,
just
it's not
a little frustrating.
It's
though.
A little dated too. Yeah. I would say it's this other kind of thing. You know, some classic game of the weeks are forever. This is a little dated if you go back and play it.
It is, but you know, yeah. We still have to appreciate the classics.
Of course. All right, especially with Super Smash Brothers and everything.
Yes, that was the other thing. That is actually the reason why I picked this game, is because in Super Smash Brothers there is a Pac-Land fighting level. So it was like one of the mini games. So just thought I would throw that one out there.
So it does come from an actual game in gaming's past, if you didn't already know.
Indeed.
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, Pac-Land, available everywhere. It was on every system in the late 80s, early 90s. There it is, Pac-Land.
Unless you had something by Sega.
All right, when we come back, there's plenty more show to come, including the Fugle Question of the Week and your calls at 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. Our mailbags accumulated 2 weeks' worth of mail, and we have some more news, including Club Nintendo going to be sunsetting. Oh, we'll talk about that and why that's happening. And a brand new game from Sid Meier. You know, the creator of Civilization.
Rob needs to go change his pants.
That's right. So I need to go change my pants. We're going to go take a break. We'll be back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live Tonight, episode 584 for January the 25th of 2015. Thanks so much for coming back and joining us after we were gone last week. We finally took a break there. We were live every Sunday through the holidays, but finally I was like, you know what? I'm going to Seattle, and you know, Jamie and Matt, they deserve a week off as well. So we all took the week off last week, and so hopefully you guys had some other great indie podcasts to help fill the time for your commutes or for your work day or what have you during the week last week. But thanks so much for coming right back over to Orange Lounge Radio. We do appreciate the support, and I got to tell you guys, I had a really good time in Seattle. I don't know how many listeners we have up there. I don't usually see faces in chat from the area, but if I'm neglecting you, I'm so sorry. I don't always remember every single person and where they live, but I will give my compliments. I had a great time while I was up there. I got to do all the tourist trap stuff. Went over to the Space Needle and the Experience Music Project, which, by the way, has over at the EMP or Experience Music Project, they actually have an indie games exhibit going on right now inside the music museum. I mean, you know, with all these, you know, Jimi Hendrix music exhibit and Nirvana exhibit and an awesome music video exhibit, might I say. I know those of you guys that have me on Facebook probably saw my picture with the Aha, the Take On Me video cut out, that whole thing. They had a thing set up where you could take pictures. I was like, yes. So that was pretty cool. But anyway, they had a little room actually dedicated just for like indie games and independently developed games. And that was really cool because there was stuff that you could, that was set up that you could play. And some things that, you know, a lot of you guys have probably heard of or seen before, like Gone Home was set up in there. But there was some other stuff that even I hadn't heard of before in there too. So it was pretty cool just to walk through and see what all's getting a lot of love, because Seattle. When you get Seattle and indie and you combine them together, you get Cindy. Seattle has a really big indie scene, as does Vancouver. It's that whole Pacific Northwest. And, you know, obviously some big gaming companies up there between Valve and Nintendo and Microsoft, and you know, the fact that they have PAX Prime up there. There's a big, big gaming scene there. So it's pretty cool to see everything represented there. And I got to see that at the museum. So, and that was on Sunday even. So I think I made a tweet on my personal account where I was just kind of joking and I was saying, even on a night off, I can't help but play some video games. And that's what we did. Now there was one big game that was being played in Seattle that day. Let me tell you, because that Sunday was the same day that big football game was going on up there, and people be crazy about their football up in Seattle. Especially with that particular game and how close it was, and the fact that Seattle did end up winning it in overtime. I will tell you, I was when they won the game, we were on the elevator going up to the top of the Space Needle, and the elevator operator was like, I have to hear what's going on when we get to the top. I have to know what's going on with the game, because, you know, the locals get really excited that their team is going to the Super Bowl. So, you know, however you feel about that team or the other teams.
I was laughing at people because Dan was watching a video of people who were leaving the game early.
Yes. Yes, I heard about that.
I was like,
that's what you get. It's funny. Hey, at least they got out of the parking lot before anybody else. Isn't that what's important? All right, anyway, I'll stop talking about my trip and we'll get back into talking about games. Let's do some rapid fire news. Wait, I got to see what this is. Rama in chat says, Sky, you're a wonderful person. I work my co-hosts, and you know, there's no reason why Darksoccer and Loki couldn't have done a show without me, but sometimes it's just, you know what? Let's just have a week. I mean, Darksoccer did have the key to my house. She could have come in here. And
I was busy petting Sanrio.
You guys did a show without me once. It was a while ago. It was when we did the show at your house.
It's a little bit easier when, like, the computer was in my house and I'd already been using it for other podcasting.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm taking steps to get things figured out for doing it on my MacBook.
Yep.
My wife keeps pushing me to have my son on the show because all he does is talk about the video game that he plays.
We would love to have your son on the show.
Yeah, but
Julian has been on the show.
Yeah, but he'd be here for a while. It wouldn't be just like, and he whines a lot.
That's because that's what kids do.
We'd have to clean up our mouths a little bit, too. It'll have to be the family-friendly OLR edition. Yay! So we'll do that. Maybe we can maybe for April Fools this year, we'll get Bobby Blackwolf to do a show where he swears all night, and then we'll do a family friendly show. Now I'm invoking other people into my big plan here. All right, anyway, let's get into some rapid fire news. In all seriousness, no fooling, there is a lot of other news that happened this week, right, Loki?
Yeah, so no surprise that they're going to be re-releasing Borderlands 2 and Borderlands a pre-sequel on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, in a collection that will be coming out on March 24th in North America. and everywhere else on the 27th. And it's the Handsome Collection, and it includes, like I said, Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel with all DLC. And that'll be for $60. I hope that's actually all DLC and not just like, oh, yeah, it's some of the DLC, but, you know, some of the other DLC in there is you're going to have to purchase separately, like they do sometimes. Also, if you were happen to be really a rabid fan of the series, they had 5,000 Claptrap, or just the Handsome Collection Claptrap in a Box edition that was retailing at $399. That would come with everything that was in the regular bundle, plus a remote-controlled Claptrap Steward robot, a collectible steel case, and 12 exclusive lithographs. However, as far as I'm aware, those are all sold out already. So, people love them. They're Claptraps. And, yeah, no surprise that was coming out. Kind of wish that they had thrown the original Borderlands in there as well, but I don't know. I guess for whatever reason they decided not to. And then to go along with that, they've got some more DLC coming for Borderlands, the pre-sequel, including another playable character with Lady Hammerlock, who is the sister of Sir Hammerlock in the game. And you'll be able to download that on January 27th. And she apparently is also included as part of the season pass. So if you do have that, you don't need to purchase her. But otherwise, she is $9.99. So, I don't know. Interesting. And then there's this cool website that you can check out that calculates how much time it would take you to finish your Steam library. It's a website called Steam Left, so steamleft.com, and you put in your Steam information, and it will look at your library and tell you how much time. And if I remember correctly, I think I had like 1,200 hours or something like that. It says I could watch. They give you little statistics in the bottom there. It's like, you could.
I'm really afraid. What's the website?
Steamleft.com. It's all, like, for mine, they're all, you could watch the entire series of Friends 29 times. I'm like, no, I would not want to watch this, Friends 29 times. But, oh, God, never mind. You beat me.
So it would take me 2,599 continuous hours. That's 108 days, 7 hours and 49 minutes to complete my Steam library. I could watch the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy 228 times. Oh, I could listen to Weird Al's Albuquerque 12,999 times.
Wait, what's this URL again?
Oh, actually, never mind. Mine is a little higher than I thought it was. I was remembering days. You actually have been beat by 9 hours, so.
Wow.
I'm 2590.
Steamleft.com. Darsira.
All right, hold on.
There it is.
107 days, 22 hours and 40 minutes.
And Bobby says if you hover over the words continuous hours, you get a little Easter egg. Love that. I'm not going to give it away. That's great.
And I like
1,770 continuous hours, or 73 days, 18 hours, and 46 minutes.
In this time, you could have made this web app 129 times.
I could have watched the whole series of Breaking Bad 42 times.
Performed open heart surgery 647 times.
All right, Nick, we're all having a cry. Next story.
Oh, this is actually awesome. I could have listened to Rush's 2112 album 2,724 times.
You going to go see their 40th anniversary tour in San Jose?
I wish.
I'd go. You want to go?
I'm broke.
Ugh.
I could have also lived out one lifespan as an aunt.
All right, now let's move on.
Okay, Rob, let's go see Rush.
Okay, yay.
If it's not expensive.
All right.
So this is pretty sweet. This is actually something I tried back when they had a beta for it, but I never really got into it. And then, which is probably good because then it got shortly shut down afterwards. And then it came back, but I never went back to it. But this is the PC MMO All Points Bulletin Reloaded is now coming to consoles. And they're going to be launching it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in the second quarter of this year. And it will be free to play still. And you can check it out. And it's kind of along the lines of like the first or second Saints Row games, and like they say, World of Warcraft mixed together. I don't know if I'd really call it that, but it's kind of cool. You either get to take the side of like the gang members or the police, and then you can do missions where, like, you know, the early missions, any of the enemies there and there are other players. So, like, you know, as you're pulling bigger heists, you get more heat on you, and then, you know, more of the police or whatever come after you. So it's kind of cool. But that'll be coming out later on this year, and I will definitely have to check that out since it's free to play.
All right. Not free, but still pretty cool nonetheless. New DLC for Theatrhythm. This is awesome because people were thinking Theatrhythm was kind of done with DLC. I believe Square even came out and said, we're done with DLC. And then they started releasing a little more, and people are eating it up. And it's because they're doing music from other Square Enix games, which is doing very, very well. Music from The World Ends With You came to Theatrhythm in this last DLC bundle. Twister and Calling were two of the new tracks released for the 3DS game. Let's see. Also, Liberi Fatali from Final Fantasy VIII, Final Confrontation from Romancing Saga 3, and World Revolution from Chrono Trigger, as well as Wind Scene from Chrono Trigger, all made its way into Theatrhythm. So, it's still giving Square money to release these songs, so I wonder if we're going to see more and more and more, because who knows if that Dragon Quest Theatrhythm game is ever coming out here. I don't know. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I have reason to be checking Theatrhythm every week. I have reason to check Steam on February 5th, because this cool little game, Castle in the Darkness, which is by Nisalis, I hope I said that right. It's the folks that made 1001 Spikes, which I know I've played that before. But Castle in the Darkness will be coming out on February 5th. It will be $6, and it's an action-adventure game with damning difficulty, which doesn't surprise me whatsoever. And I know some of y'all love your retro games with their damning difficulty. Right, Dark Tetsuya? You listening? I know you're a fan. All right. Many of you love your very hard retro games. Many of you love your fighting games as well, and I know many, many, many of you love to watch Evo. So Evo 2015 is coming. It's going to be happening with several fighting games, two of them being Smash Brothers related. Smash Brothers Melee and Smash Brothers for Wii U, both a part of this July 17th through 19th at Bally's Las Vegas Casino, where this is going to happen. That's pretty cool because you might remember last year, Nintendo was very much not really going to be a part of this. No, what was it, 2 years ago that they didn't do this? Yeah, 2 years ago, Nintendo wanted Melee out of the competition, and then they got it back in this last year. And now, I think Nintendo, I want to say Nintendo's like a sponsor of this now. That's why there's two of them in the games. So that's pretty cool. Some of the other fighting games involved, of course, Ultra Street Fighter 4, of course, Ultimate MVC 3, Mortal Kombat X will be in it, Tekken 7 will be in it, Guilty Gear XRD, Killer Instinct, and Persona 4 Arena Ultima X, all going to be a part of this. So a lot of fighting game fans very excited for this coming up this July. All right, Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Well, I've got some pretty not really surprising stuff. Amplitude actually is not going to be out in March, like they said. It has been delayed until summer for quality reasons. So I would rather it be delayed and be awesome than come out in March and be crap and have all of us go, ha-ha. But we can wait. The world can wait. Also, Jeff Keighley says that the Game Awards will be back later this year. No shit. And last...
Well, they weren't so bad for a first-year show. I know we talked about it to death the week it happened, but, you know, it did a lot of things right. It wasn't perfect, but if they can bring back Roberta Williams one more time...
Oh, yeah.
And Ken, you know, I would love that, but that probably won't happen. They'll be on their yacht somewhere.
Also, now, I know they pronounce it GLAAD, but because it has two A's, I always wanted to call it GLAAD. Basically, they're giving a special recognition to BioWare for Dragon Age Inquisition for its representation of LGBT, and I'm going to say Q, A, etc. characters in Dragon Age Inquisition. Especially, I mean, if no one's played this game, there is probably one of... Actually, I'd probably say one of the few positive depictions of a transgender character in a game. And then they also gave kudos to The Last of Us DLC Left Behind because of how it explored Ellie and Riley. So, there you go. And, of course, the Dragon Age Twitter's like, hell yeah, thank you. Well, actually, they said, we are proud to be nominated for an At GLAAD Media Award.
But that's just PR speak for hell yeah.
Yeah, PR speak for damn right. All right. I can't say damn straight, I'm saying damn skippy.
All right. let's go to our Fugle question of the week. Every week we ask a question of our Facebook and our Google communities over at facebook.com/orangeloungeradio and google.com/+orangeloungeradio. We ask a question, and usually when we have guests on the show, I like to theme the question around whoever our guest is. So tonight, of course, we had Eric from Rockage SJ, and we were talking about, you know, what's coming up in a couple weeks here and why people should go to this music and retro gaming celebration. Well, we asked our listeners this week, what has been your favorite convention or gamer gathering that you have ever attended and why? And I want to make clear, it doesn't matter if it was a huge national thing like a PAX or whatever, or if it was like a small local con. So I just want to know, what was your favorite experience? So we have a few answers here. And we have Fabrice A, who, as you know, is one of our listeners over in Belgium. So he responds and says, only been to FAX in Belgium. It's a sci-fi convention with some games on the side. They did have 6 pinball machines this year, which was nice. Also, some arcade cabinets and some retro game stuff. Sadly, it's also the only convention that is anywhere near where I live. Well, I'll tell you what, Fabrice. If we had the budget, I would bring the first OLRCon to Belgium. I would. Darksoccer, you'd be down, right? OLRCon in Belgium?
Will there be waffles?
Absolutely.
And Belgian ale?
Absolutely.
I want to actually go to a Trappista brewery and get it right. I want to go to the Chimay brewery. I want to go talk to the monks at the Chimay place and have them give me beer.
Someday, right after I win the lottery. Someday. Andy R. says, my first time at Fanime in 2006. It helps that it was also, that was probably the last time we did a panel there, was 2006. No, it was later than that. But anyway, my first time at Fanime, it helps that it was also my first anime convention overall. I've been to Fanime every year since, and I don't think it's ever quite captured the magic of my first time. Doesn't help that the con has ballooned out of control and now has huge lines for everything now. Flacco Jones replies and says, my first BlizzCon. It was only the second BlizzCon ever. Got to meet guildies in person, and the closing concert was Video Games Live, who I'd never seen before. It also wasn't as crowded since they only had about half the space they use now, and the goodie bag was amazing. It does sound like BlizzCon was really awesome back in its heyday. Now it's too damn expensive. That's my opinion. Bryce H. replies and says, I have never attended a convention of any sort, but I am trying to attend the Too Many Games convention in Philadelphia this June. Well, good luck. Hope you make it. Dark Tetsuya says, although I wouldn't consider it a gaming convention per se, WonderCon 2010/2011 did have playable previews of games from the likes of Capcom and Nintendo. Playing Final Fight Double Impact and Kid Icarus Uprising before their respective release dates was pretty awesome. I think some people would consider things like Comic-Con maybe one of the best things they've been to, and that's not necessarily gaming. One of my favorites was my first Dragon Con. So, you know, and that wasn't specifically gaming, but I had a great time. My first trip to Atlanta, and last year, too. Let's see. Going over to our Google Plus page and checking out some of the answers there. I don't know if we had any responses over on Google Plus. Did it not? Did I not post to Google Plus? I thought I did.
Ooh, got dissed.
Oh, my God. I dissed Google Plus this week inadvertently. I'm
forgetting
sorry, guys.
My stories and then forgetting Google Plus.
I'm falling apart. A week off and I can't do anything. You know what I did? I bet I posted it on my personal.
I bet you did.
I bet anything that's what I did. I probably posted it on my personal Google Plus page, not the OLR Google Plus page. Womp, womp. Oh, well.
Oh, Rob.
I know. I'm a
failure. Or you just didn't post it.
Or I just didn't post it. I wrote the post all up and everything. What the hell? I blame Google. Damn it. First Ingress problems and now this. I'm having some serious Google problems this week. Sorry, Google. Apologize. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, nobody uses Google Plus, not even Rob. I swear I went and wrote the post there. I just didn't click submit or something. What a fail on my part. Well, I apologize to all of you guys that are loyal to Google Plus for forgetting you this week.
All two of you.
Next time, if you notice I don't post the question by a certain time on Sunday, send me a tweet or something.
Use Facebook.
Yeah, Dark Tetsuya in chat says, geez, Rob, you take a week off and everything falls apart. Ain't that the truth? Dark Soccer, you've probably been to more cons than anyone else in the room. What was your favorite?
Good Lord. I would probably say the one that stick. I mean, I really loved Faname when Ranma came out. That was great. I had a great, great time, especially when he got to experience firsthand my initial D driving. But My favorite con altogether was Anime Expo 2000 that was at the Disneyland Hotel, where a bunch of cosplayers got kicked out of Disneyland for cosplaying at Disneyland. And it was also my first experience with a DDR machine. It was also the con of the chair, where basically it turned into a big joke the entire convention, but there was a chair left up on the stage, and everyone just started chanting for the chair. So they put a chair on the DDR machine, and we had video of chair playing DDR. We had... It was just a great con. The whole con was great. I cosplayed as Jill Valentine. And Mad Hatter from... That wasn't the year I did Mad Hatter. That was the year I did Jill. And Leona from King of Fighters. And walked around in combat boots. And then I couldn't walk for the next 3 days because I was wearing somebody else's combat boots. It was a great con.
Loki, what about you?
Probably the 1 year I went to PAX. That was fun. I don't know, either that or the first Fanime. Because that was when I first saw DDR fourth mix.
You know, PAX probably would have been my answer too, because, you know, that was when we were still with All Games Network and we were doing the broadcasting with some of the other shows there, all in like part of actual PAX itself. And it was really cool to kind of be spending the con kind of quote unquote working, but it was really fun and kind of a new way to expose ourselves to like a different audience. So that was really fun, just that whole experience. And the fact that Loki, Dark Soccer, and I all took that trip together and kind of all like experienced that, like, I don't know if we'll ever get to do something like that again. So that was really cool that we got to do something like Penny Arcade Expo together. That was 2008. And that year was a real shit year for me personally, because that was the year I got really sick, remember? That was – PAX was in between when I went to the hospital and when I had the surgery. So that was kind of a crap year for me personally, but PAX was definitely a highlight of 08. So I'll use my runner-up answer, which would be, again, a very similar experience, would be E3, which isn't really a con, I know, but still, it was my, it's still what I'm going to say, deal with it. E3, with the last big crazy year, which was 2006, even though there were way too many people at E3 itself, I got to cut the Wii line, which was awesome, and I'm thankful to my connection to this day for helping me do that. That was also, you know, again, coming together with other shows when All Games had that Arena Lounge. Well, it wasn't theirs, but, you know, they worked very closely with the guy at Arena Lounge. And it was like a giant frat house for video game stuff. And that was a fun year. It was just a lot of fun that year. And again, you know, I think we all went. I think we all went. Didn't you go that year,
I
too?
Went.
Yeah, we all went to that together. And that was a lot of fun. So, you know. Those days, sadly, are probably behind us, where all three of us get to go to these events and have a lot of fun because we all have our own lives and stuff. But those are some great memories. So that would be my answer.
That's when I had the update E3 on PSP.
Oh, yes. Was that that year, too?
Yeah, that was that year.
That was awesome. That was a great thing you did that year. All right. Let's move on. We got some more gaming news to get to before we get to the mailbag and the FUs of the week. Pod Culture says, why not Dragon Con? Shame on you. I said that a minute ago during some of the other responses where somebody had said WonderCon. I said, well, there was Dragon Con was one of my favorites. And that really was one of my favorites, too. So, all right. Let's move on with some more news. Loki.
All right. So I guess this is kind of sad for fans of Nintendo, but they're getting rid of Club Nintendo. Sorry, you're not cool enough to be in the club anymore. But I don't know. It really hasn't been kind of what it used to be for like a long time now. And, like, they started skimping on with the rewards and everything. And I don't know. So now they're getting rid of that. And apparently, to kind of go along with that, they're also adding new rewards for downloadable games to help members clear out their coin balances, that kind of thing. And I guess you'll have until September 30th to use up those coins. So that kind of sucks. But they are going to be doing something else. Some other loyalty program. So I guess we'll have to see what that is.
It's interesting that this is coming on the heels of the Digital Deluxe promotion also ending. So it really seems like a good time for Nintendo to hit the reset button on their loyalty program. It'd be interesting to see what comes of it. But you're right. A lot of people were giving the Club Nintendo thing shit when it was all the digital rewards. And people were like, what happened to the cool limited stuff? You know, so obviously Nintendo probably has to change things a little bit. So we'll see. I wonder if virtual console games are going to play into the reward. Like, maybe the new reward system will just straight up be like virtual console redemption. Who knows? Who knows? Anything's possible, I suppose. Gosh, I get. Am I still able to cash in all the stuff I still have sitting around?
Yeah, until you know, September.
Oh, good. Then I'll have to do that. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Guild Wars, Guild Wars 2 specifically. Guild Wars 2, of course, on a big sale this weekend. And I keep meaning to go back and check out this game because, you know, again, it is nice that it's one of those games where once you bought it, you can go back and play it whenever you want. And so I've been needing to go back and check out some Guild Wars 2, and it sounds like Dark Soccer might be meeting me there very soon. But Guild Wars 2 going to get a lot more interested people with the announcement of their first expansion. Heart of Thorns was announced at PAX South. Guild Wars 2 Heart of Thorns is going to be the first expansion for Guild Wars 2, and it will be continuing, of course, the Guild Wars 2 storyline, and it will be bringing out the Mastery System. New training opportunities for your character beyond level 80. Master abilities like hang gliding in the jungle and building new collections that work towards a legendary weapon. Something called the Heart of the Maguma Jungle. Specializations coming as well. Revenant, which is a new profession. And Guild Halls will be coming to the game as well as a new mode for PvP. World versus world place called the Borderland, which is epic battlefield combat. The Borderlands map is coming to the game as well. So lots and lots coming to Guild Wars 2. I haven't played that game since it first came out, and I imagine so much changed. I know they do little additions to it here and there, so I got to check that out. Pow in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com says, I've been playing Guild Wars 2 all day and watching Golden Girls in the background. Hashtag not sorry. You sound like you've honestly had the perfect day, Pow. That might be a perfect day right there. That's awesome. All right. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Well, I have creepy shit. And by creepy shit, I mean fucking creepy and awesome. Basically, there's a team of German scientists called the Cognitive Modeling Group at the University of Tübingen in Germany, and they have used an artificial intelligence to make Mario self-aware. Basically, he can think for himself. It's called Mario Lives with an exclamation point, and they've put a video up of them telling Mario, if you jump on a Goomba, it will die. What happens if you jump on a Goomba? It will surely die. Or he can figure it out for himself, and he says, the Goomba may die maybe. So as it goes on, as he experiences things, he actually builds awareness of the world around him through how he experiences it or speaks with people. And he also has emotive states that let him be happy or afraid or even hungry. When he's hungry, he goes after coins. It's just really kind of scary.
Did anyone try asking him when Mario Galaxy 3 would come out already? Well, he'd know, right?
He's aware.
He's aware, isn't he?
In his environment of Super Mario World. Or, no, I think it's Super Mario, Super Mario World. But, like, the voice that they gave him is really creepy. Like, I would play some of it, but I'm not the one hooked up to the recorder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that a hint? Am I supposed to play a little bit of this? Well, I don't, because there's a lot of narration through this video, too, so I don't know where the parts are where they actually have Mario talking.
It's not
here.
Too far in, though, I don't think.
Let's see if
I'm trying to find you a timestamp.
This is fantastic live radio.
Right around 22.
22?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look here.
Hello, Mario.
Hello. As most of you know, this is Mario. But what you do not know is that this Mario has become aware of himself and his environment, at least to a certain extent. I wonder how Mario feels about that. Let's just ask him.
Mario, how do you feel?
I feel very good.
Mario develops schema-based knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bloodlust has been sated.
Mario is the new Cyberdyne. We're going to all be stomped on by Italian plumbers.
Act Deft in chat says they should have hired Charles Martinet. Pow in chat says it sounds like Hal. So creepy. I like that. That's great. Fifth Dream says, I'll be back. My princess is in another castle. Oh, that would have been a good question to ask Mario. Which castle is the princess in?
The answer? Another one.
Another one. Is it this one? Dungeon Buster in chat says, I don't think you should be talking to the princess, Dave. All right, let's move on. Loki.
So Steam Broadcasting, which that hasn't been around for a very long time, but now it's exited its beta, so hooray. And is it right now, the service will only broadcast gameplay video by default through players, though players, I guess, can opt to stream a video of other apps on their computer, allowing them to broadcast other things like instructional videos and whatnot. So that's kind of cool. And also records the audio that plays through the speakers on the broadcaster's computer. I don't know. Exciting stuff. So they're saying that basically you can use this kind of like Twitch now and not just stream games, but you can also kind of stream yourself, which is neat. I don't know.
Oh, they finally put the camera stuff in there?
Well, not the camera stuff, but it says that you can stream other apps other than just games. So like say...
How people were streaming porn and stuff? They were playing like Windows Media Player and streaming things like anime and porn and stuff. I don't know if they block that or what they did. But.
Yeah.
People. Well, you know where there is, it's inevitable. There's going to be porn. There's always going to be porn. All right. Are you going to experiment by broadcasting anything on Steam Broadcasting?
That means I have to play my Steam, but maybe eventually someday.
I have mine on whenever I play Steam games. I have it so that only friends can look at it. So I did turn it off when I was doing Five Nights at Freddy's because sometimes I want it to stream through Twitch. But if you see me on Steam playing games, you can always watch. It doesn't mean I'm going to commentate and entertain. I just, you know, you can just peek
at the
game.
I'll buy you the second one if you stream it while I'm watching.
I actually, Loki got it for me for, Five Nights at Freddy's. The last game I streamed on Steam was Final Fantasy 13, and so Loki got me Final Fantasy 13 too, but I do not have Five Nights at Freddy's 2, but if you'd like to donate that to the Watch Rob Play Scary Games Fund, then I guess I'll take it. No, Darksoccer's wiggling her eyebrows at me. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. All right.
I want you to play it while eating.
Yeah.
That's going to be hilarious.
Only if I can eat cheap pizza.
Cheap pizza. You have to do it while eating Little Caesars.
Yeah.
That itself is scary. No. What you should do is you should have to actually go down to Chuck E. Cheese and order pizza.
Who gets pizza from Chuck E. Cheese to go?
I'll put Five Nights at Freddy 2 on my laptop. Play it on my computer at Chuck E. Cheese's.
All right, fine.
And we'll stream it.
Fine. Marissa Congusto is in our chat saying, back in my day.
You, Marissa.
Me too. Back in my day, we only had porn animated GIFs and we liked it. That's right.
That's where that would be a great location. Well, if they probably haven't bulldozed the place, which I'm sure they have, but like, you know, Bullwinkle's, you know, because that place was still retro-y and had the old animatronics.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm trying to move on to another story here, but unfortunately, my Firefox crashed on me while I was trying to pull up this next story.
Damn you, Firefox.
What?
The damn you,
that's
Firefox.
What you get for not using Chrome.
Pretty much. I think I might need to put Chrome on this computer, actually. I'm a little worried about it. Anyway, okay, good. I was able to reopen all the tabs right where I left off. So here's the thing, is that I try to be as impartial as possible on this show. You know, I try to keep an open mind to all the video games, and I try not to fanboy out too much about any one particular franchise or game or so forth, but once in a while, there's going to be that developer who announces a new game, and sure enough, that happened this week where Sid Meier has announced a new game called Starships, and I couldn't help myself. Yep. Not gonna lie, I'll probably buy it just because it has Sid Meier's names on it. But look, the guy did Railroad Tycoon. He did Civilization. I even will defend Covert Action. Sid Meier does a lot of great stuff. So of course I'm gonna check out the new game Starships, which I'd love to tell you more about, but it's crashing my computer consistently here, the page here. So I do know it's a turn-based strategy game. I have heard that it's supposed to tie in somehow to the Beyond Earth, Civilization Beyond Earth. It's supposed to tie into that somehow, although they haven't said a lot about how that's going to work. It will be coming out for PC, Mac, and iPad, and it's actually coming out this year. So I'm excited to learn more about this game. I'm sure they're going to show plenty more at E3 about this game. Anybody else interested in Sid Meier's games like I am? Anybody?
Chirp.
No?
Chirp.
Anybody in chat? Somebody's got to be.
Chirp. Rob, I'm sure you will find other people who enjoy these games as much as you do.
I know. Well, Starships, anyway, was based on Sid Meier wanting to extend the Beyond Earth setting, where he says this is going to be a further narrative of the game, where you'll be able to explore the universe, and you'll encounter other human colonies and whatever those colonies may hold. This game will focus on starship creation, meaning that your ships are going to be very configurable, and there'll be space combat, of course, and so there'll be a universe filled with interstellar adventure, diplomacy, and exploration. So this sounds like it's going to be awesome. So it sounds a little bit like maybe like if Civ was in space as opposed to just on the planet's surface, like you see happen in Beyond Earth. And yes, it is, they are saying there will be cross-connectivity features with Beyond Earth if you own both titles. So that's very, very cool. So I'm excited to check in that out, Sid Meier's Starships. Nothing to do with the Nicki Minaj song, just so we're clear. All right, let's move on. What do we have next? Is Mailbag coming up next, I think?
I guess.
All right, so every week...
It's crunchy this time.
I don't know because my show roll closed when Firefox crashed. So anyway, you want the music?
No, I don't care.
Every week, you guys send us email to participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And Dark Sakura will dive into the mailbag and find an email or four that she thinks, hey, I'm going to read these. And we're going to respond to them right after I judge them.
Damn it. Why are you sending long ones?
All right.
Thanks for the warning.
You can always edit the long ones.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, here it is. Dark Sakura, what is in the mailbag? It's had 2 weeks to build up, so I imagine there's a little bit of there.
All four of them.
That's twice what we usually get.
Welcome back. I apologize that my last scenario came across as more perverse than intended.
Oh,
especially
yes.
As posed to relative strangers. The hypothetical nudity was gratuitous, but meant less as sexy and more starting out with absolutely nothing, which we figured out. Perhaps I could have specified basic clothes that offered no significant protection from the elements or pockets, but never mind that now. My family uses 120GB PlayStation 3, which I believe I purchased about the year of the collector's edition of the original Little Big Planet 2009 as their Netflix console, and will sometimes leave it powered on or accidentally turn it back on for extended periods of time. Whether this is causing any harm, I'm not sure, but more and more frequently my system is starting up with a warning of improper shutdown and performing a check for possible corrupted files, or I am prompted to reset the system clock and the theme. I have had a flashing yellow power light in one case requiring me to power down or power back up by unplugging the console. I'm worried that the system may stop working altogether sooner rather than later. And I know I'm not ready to upgrade to a PS4 with the library of PS3 games I have. I have a few purchased episodes of Mythbusters on it and remember Raginator's Treble with video licenses, but I haven't purchased enough episodes for it to be a major concern if I lose access to those. I'm seriously considering getting a Vita as a current gen portable console and do have several cross-buy titles that I could port over. I will be going on a major vacation in June, and that would help somewhat. Would my money be better used, though, upgrading and moving content over to a 500GB PS3, especially considering Vita memory card prices? Would replacing the hard drive give the system new life? Should I try to find somewhere to service the console I have, ideally someone who wouldn't try to create a cooling baffle by taping pizza coupons inside? Or are the issues I've described somehow less serious than I fear? This is well out of warranty, so sending it to Sony probably wouldn't help. Thank you for any advice you're able to offer. Sent from my iPod, Robert M. I wouldn't repair it.
Yeah.
I'd get a new PS3.
I would suggest either the new PlayStation 3. They are coming way down in price, so you might be able to find one for a pretty good deal. One option that
get a refurb.
One option that you left out was the PlayStation TV. Those are only $80 right now. I saw one at Target the other day. So, I mean, you wouldn't be able to take that on your trip. But if you're considering going like the Vita route and you want to still have some of your video licenses and so forth, that may be one option for you. I just noticed you left that out, and it's a pretty cheap alternative. So that's just an idea. It would be a PlayStation TV. Although, of course, I am hearing kind of mixed things on that. But, you know, again, your video licenses. I thought all you would have to do is log in and you could just re-download those things.
Yeah, it is. That's all you have to do. You literally have to just...
But remember, Raginator had like gigs and gigs and gigs of stuff.
Raginator is also a special snowflake heart.
Yeah, you just go to the Sony Entertainment Store and you can... what you probably want to do first... what I had to do on mine is you basically revoke all the licenses on your system. So basically it detaches your account from all the systems, and then you just go back on there and reconnect it to the new system that you get, and then you can just download all your content.
I think, too, something you need to consider is how much are you playing those PS3 games, and are there more that you plan on playing? Because the amount of new PlayStation 3 games is going to slow down significantly because they are really shifting focus.
It already has, yeah.
Yeah, they're already shifting focus to PlayStation 4. I mean, that Kingdom Hearts 2.5H, that was like the last big thing coming out for PlayStation 3 that I know of. Is there anything in the near future that's coming out?
Well, there's still like plenty of games that are coming out that are going to have, you know, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions of the game, but less and less of them are, and it's becoming less and less. Like, you know, Dying Light was originally supposed to have a PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 version, then they canceled it. I think Mad Max is supposed to have that. I don't know.
You might want to consider, too, I know you say you're not quite ready for PlayStation 4, but you might want to consider, see what happens at E3, especially if the system may get that price cut, because I think what would really be unfortunate is that, let's say in a couple months you get a PlayStation 3, and then all of a sudden at E3 they announce that game that you have to have on PlayStation 4 and all that. But I do certainly see the point about you're worried about your PlayStation 3 library. You can't play it on the 4, which, you know, is very frustrating, believe me. So I get that end of it where you want to be able to still play those games. So I think you really have to kind of ask, like, you know, how important are those games for you to continue to keep playing? And if you really want to get them and still play them, I think you should consider just investing in the new PS3. They're getting cheaper and cheaper. How much are they these days? Cheaper than $199 at this point, aren't they? Or are they still
$199? Yeah, they're definitely cheaper than that.
Yeah, so.
They didn't buy it back for very much, that's for sure.
Yeah, so there you go. All right.
Oh, next.
Sorry, I have to get out this tangential thing about issues happening with PlayStations, because my PlayStation 4 has started doing something very strange that's a little bit concerning. Loki, have you heard anything about this? So I will put my PlayStation 4 into rest mode, and the little yellow light comes up, and it's in rest mode, right? Does its thing. Sometime overnight, it will shut off completely. Like, rest mode will kick out, and it shuts off completely. And when I boot it up again the next day, which I can't do for my controller, I have to go to the console and push the power button on switch, it will yell at me for not shutting it down properly the last time.
So you should shut it down each time.
Well, I leave mine in rest mode. And here's the thing, though. Is like that's not even necessarily a problem for me. What I have as a problem is my digital games will sometimes crash in the middle of them. I have that happen a lot. Mm. Like, you know, even Lego Marvel Superheroes will do it. I've had it with Gat Out of Hell. Just randomly, oop, stop. No reason.
This is concerning to me. What?
I would like to say that I have never, ever had problems with any of my Sony products.
Be careful what you wish for.
For when our very, very first model PlayStation, after being used for about 3 years, we had to start using it upside down, and then we did the sideways way, and then we got a new one. Those happened. But we have a first edition Japanese PS2 that still works perfectly. We have a first edition US PS2 that still runs perfectly, and a first edition PS3 that still runs perfectly. All I can say is just, then again, you guys know how careful Dan is with everything.
Yeah.
We shut the system off when we're done with it.
Fifth Dream in chat says, mine does that too, and it's frustrating when I'm trying to charge my headphones or controller. I really think there's an issue there, because remember, after the last patch, there was a big issue with rest mode that they supposedly fixed. My concern is they didn't really fix it. Let's see. Tiger Claw suggests it could be a power outage like a flicker. But if that was the case, everything else on that strip, like the Wii U and the TV, they would all be giving me issues. The TV would reset everything internally. So I don't think that's it. I mean, that's a thought, but I don't think that's it. Let's see. Locked On Gamer in chat mentioning some other PlayStation 3 games coming out this year. Tales of Zestiria, Persona 5, and Yakuza 5, still to look forward to. Persona 5 is going to be on PlayStation 4 as well, though, right? So there's at least both. I don't know about those other two games, but I know about Persona. So, all right, anyhow, a lot of chat on that email. Sorry, Jamie. We're ready for the next one.
Hello, everyone. I've been listening to the podcast for about a year now, and you guys have made my commutes on Monday much better. Just thought I'd email a few questions for you all. What new worlds from Disney would you like to see included in Kingdom Hearts 3? I'd love to see Treasure Planet, Big Hero 6, and The Incredibles in the next one. I feel like having an Avengers or Star Wars world would be cool, but I'm not too sure they'd translate well, and I agree with you, by the way. And also, now that you've been airing Orange Lounge Radio for almost 13 years, I'd like to know what is the most shocking piece of gaming news you have ever discussed on the show.
Ooh.
Keep up the great work, Chris.
Okay, the first question. Areas in Kingdom Hearts I'd want to see. Tron, and more Tron.
Amen.
Even though I know we got that in Kingdom Hearts 2.
I don't care. It's not enough.
It's not enough. More Tron.
I want Tron Hearts.
Oh, God.
King Tron Hearts.
That's right. If for whatever reason I was denied my Tron, maybe Wall-E. I want to see more of like Pixar. And I love Wall-E. So I think I'd want to see a Wall-E world. I have no idea how the hell that would work in Kingdom Hearts lore. I'm not going to write the script. I'm just going to tell you what I want.
I know what I want, and it would never happen.
What?
But I'd want the Black Cauldron.
I think that would be really rad, actually. I think there are people that would
want
that.
Or a full Fantasia level. Mm. Like where you have the dancing hippos and everything.
Ooh, Disney owns the Muppets now. I want a fucking Muppets level.
See,
and then I want other Jim Henson shit like Labyrinth. I want a fucking Labyrinth level.
I'm going to stop for a second. And I want them to keep Kingdom Hearts to just the Disney actual licenses. I don't want the Pixar licenses. I don't want the Marvel. I don't want the Muppets. I don't want Star Wars. I want my Kingdom Hearts to be Disney and Square.
Fine. Then Dark Tetsuya in chat, I like this, says, how about a Wreck-It Ralph world? Fine. I'm great with that.
I would totally be down for that.
I actually really love that idea and think it would work very well. So fingers crossed.
But isn't kind of Wreck-It Ralph, isn't it kind of already like Kingdom Hearts?
Well, in a way.
Where they go to different universes?
They could set it in Vanellope's go-karting world and where a lot of the movie took place anyway.
So it's more like they just visit Candy Rush.
Yeah. Sugar Rush.
Sugar Rush, whatever.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
What were you going to say?
Loki? How about you?
Like the what world I'd want? I don't know. Like gargoyles.
Ooh. Gummy bears. Really we have a gummy bear level or, for the gummy ship.
What about like DuckTales or like fucking Darkwing Duck or something?
All right. I like the way you're thinking. It's awesome.
Ooh, I could deal with a Darkwing Duck level.
All right. Akuma JP says, no fucking Muppets, please. How dare you? How very dare you? All right.
Next email?
No, because we have that other question that's very important.
Shocking stuff.
What is the most shocking piece of gaming news you've ever discussed on a show? Wow. I have to really think about this. I mean, I'm sure there's something. You know what comes to mind? In all honesty, you know what comes to mind? Remember when and this was like kind of local news that went national, and there was that gal. That's all I had to say. That drank all. It was the hold your wee for a wee contest, and she drank all that water. And you know, the radio station was kind of being irresponsible, and that was like okay, sorry. Being very irresponsible because a doctor called in and fucking told him, like, this is really not healthy, right? And shouldn't be doing this. And so unfortunately this gal passed away and she was trying to win a Wii for her kids. And I think just the brazen stupidity of the morning show crew and what they did.
Well, I have to say she did have a degree of responsibility because you should know better.
Yes, but I kind of refuse to blame her for that situation either, especially when she was doing it for her kids.
No. She did something stupid. They did something stupid by enabling her.
Yeah.
I put them more at responsibility. However,
yeah.
She did decide to participate.
Right. But I think the key, I like the way you use the word enabled. They enabled it. So,
yeah. But people have to realize that the blame also goes to the person making the decision.
Right.
There is a degree.
Right. But anyway, but yeah, all this debate and everything. I mean, and the fact that that lady lived less than a mile from where we did OLR at the time. I mean, that's how local this thing was. That was kind of shocking, I think, in a way.
By the way, Ikuma JP says, no Muppet porn, please. I mean, LOL.
Oh, that's fine. And I think that all kind of goes with how, like, crazy people went for the Wii and the shortages and just everything that went with that when Nintendo was kind of runner-up for a while, you know, and may have slipped back in that position a little bit, even though, you know, a lot of us still cheer them on.
So we have to blame Nintendo for that because if they had produced enough quantities and they wouldn't have everybody, you know,
yeah,
doing contests to try to win one.
So anyway, I don't know. That's what comes to mind. I don't know if you guys, I mean, 13 years, we've talked about a lot of stuff on this show. But just like shocking, I don't know. That's the one that comes to mind for me.
I can think of one.
That's what's that?
Easy. E3 last year. Was it last year? Yes, E3 last year with when they did the whole PlayStation 4 thing. They were kind of rebuttal to the whole Xbox One stance.
Oh, that was 2 years ago.
Oh, that was 2 years
ago. That
was
a mic drop
okay.
moment.
Oh, yeah. That was
2 years ago. Yeah, okay.
That was a huge, yeah, when they just basically punched Microsoft in the face live on stage.
That was just like, whoa.
That was, I think, what a lot of us kind of live for in E3 moments. I mean, Sony versus Microsoft and those sorts of biases that people inevitably think we have aside, I just think that was a really, truly, like, shocking, like, this is why I watch press conferences kind of moment, you know?
I will honestly say that there's not too much I have found shocking. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just being jaded. Maybe it's not having a very high opinion of most other people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, you know, especially, and I'm going to put it this way, especially if you've been in the design business and you start seeing what goes into branding and what goes into production and what goes into the presentation that these companies try to make, it really stops being shocking.
Well, I guess it wasn't that big, but like, remember when was it when they announced 14? I remember there was one. Oh no, it was 14. I think where they.
Well, it was a couple years ago.
Surprising, but it wasn't a shock.
Well, we all thought he meant to say 13 2 was what he was going to be talking about, or whatever. What 13? The one that became 15 was the one he was supposed to be talking about. 13 verses. That's yeah. it. And
Agito is what became a zero.
Yeah. So SSG100 Matt has a very good answer for this, and I'll leave it at this because I like this answer because it's very interesting about how the real world sometimes comes into play. SSG100 Matt says, truthfully, I think one of the biggest moments in OLR history was when you guys announced the early reports of the death of Bin Laden. How you guys were able to keep it together during all of that and still do a show was really something. That happened live on show. That's right. That whole, you know, sometimes world news goes on, like things that are bigger than
games. I think I had, like, my BBC feed.
That was at your house. I want to say it was when the studio was at your house.
Yeah.
And the news came in live on air that had happened and Obama was about to give the speech, like, while we were doing the show. So, yeah, sometimes things happen in the real world that are more important than games, and we can't help but kind of get on to it. It is live, and even though we try to keep the focus on games, there's just things that are going to be that are bigger than that are going to distract us once in a while.
There's
absolutely.
Actually something that Dan used to say when we were still in our online phase. Real life must intrude.
Yeah, ain't that the truth. And certainly I think we've all had big personal moments on this show too that have you know, kind of crossed into that as well. So we've grown up with you over the past 13 years.
I just more reserve shock for something that isn't, I guess.
Yeah, no one's like walked into studio and flashed their tits or anything that I can think of.
That's not even shocking. That's a welcome event. I like
or drop their pants, to be fair. Because when you say shock in radio, it makes me think shock jock like Howard Stern. And I'm going to ask you
and
about your sex
even
life.
I think he's very shocking.
But that's
either.
Not even shocking anymore. It's like,
not
oh.
anymore. But
it's like, that, oh, hey, tits okay. in my studio. Ooh,
you
that's.
Know, if, okay, you if know. Some. If
in the internet age, it's not shocking anymore because there's complete podcasts out there that will talk about. Like a friend of mine online used to do a show all about gay sex. And it was very, very explicit. Like way more than what you would hear on any of these other shows. So it's like, I kind of feel like because any old idiot can pick up a mic and do a show now. Hey, how you doing? it's kind of softened the blow of some of these other big shows. But like Howard Stern in the 90s, dude, nobody was doing things that shocking.
And as we keep going, you know, we do, I guess it goes back to the jaded thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a little bit more hardened to certain things.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, if I got news today, right now, that said that Miyamoto was in a car accident.
Oh,
I would call that a shock.
Bite your tongue. Bite your tongue.
Well, I'm just saying, you know. I know. When the earthquake happened in Japan.
Yeah.
I had friends there, you know. We all have friends, you know, listeners too, you know, who were experiencing that. And during Hurricane Katrina, I had people that I knew, you know, in person who were listeners to the show and my good friends. So it's more of the real world stuff, I think, that I find more of an impact. I'll say impact because it may not be a shock, but it's an impact.
So we're dragging this out way too long, but I've got one more answer. This is really good. I've got one more answer because you guys will all find this shocking, okay? And I can't believe nobody in chat said this yet. The night that we were doing OLR at the garage studio and the video card on the machine went out and the whole show dropped or something like that. I don't remember what happened. Mm-hmm. And somebody in chat, and I don't even remember what it was exactly what was said, but it was some fucking comment that got really under my skin. And we worked it out after the fact. It was a misunderstanding, but he said some comment that really got under my skin, and I just fucking lost it.
Rob
and
had his diva fit.
I had a diva fit, and I went off the air. And here's the thing. It's not on the – like, you're probably like, ooh, I want to hear that. You can't because we lost the show because the computer failed partway through the show, so we lost it. So I had this big diva fit. But with SHA 100 Matt talking about picking up the show and just carrying on – Loki, bless his heart, I storm out of the studio. I'm just like, you know, fuck it, I'm out. And Loki goes, all righty then. Well, next in the news, we got... And I think I came in like 20 minutes later while Loki's trying to do this. I just pick up the mic and I cut off whatever he's talking about. I got something to say. That was a shocking moment. And Travis Donovan to this day says that was my best moment ever on this program.
You know,
anyhow,
I think I might have just zoned out during that whole thing because I was like, what?
I think
what?
You were definitely here that week.
I was there, but I think I was like, what?
Yeah, what's happening? Rob doesn't do this. What is happening?
Brain malfunction, processing error, 0010 something. So nice email. Hello, OLR. How important do you think exclusive games are to consoles? Did the Halo collection on the Xbox One really have that big an impact, or was it the lower price of the console? Maybe I have a wrong view on such things, but I believe exclusive games just don't have that much of an impact anymore. As always, thanks a lot for doing a show nearly every week. Fabrice from Belgium. I really don't think they have too big of an impact because people are going to make their decisions anyway. And honestly, I don't think Halo is a very good comparison because honestly, people, if they're going to play the Halo series, are pretty much already the Microsoft fanboy, mostly.
I think exclusives are still somewhat important. I think they're important for the company, certainly, because that's what's going to sway your decision. Because I have to admit, I really want an Xbox One because there are a lot of games over there right now that I can't play on PlayStation 4. But I also want a PlayStation 4 because there's some games there that I want to play that I can't. I have a PlayStation 4. I already made my decision. And to be fair, mostly I bought it because it was the cheaper option, and I knew that Final Fantasy 14 was going to be on it, and even though I play it on PC, I thought, oh, the console experience will be good too, and, you know, I don't regret that decision whatsoever. I think Sony's done a good job with the PlayStation 4, even if it was a little light on exclusives this past holiday. But I still want an Xbox One because I think those exclusives, you know, not so much the Halo collection because of the very tepid feedback that got, but things like Forza Horizon, Quantum Break, Killer Instinct, and some of the other exclusives. I mean, they've got quite a handful at this point, and I think it does make you look twice at the Xbox. But maybe, and I think this is important to look at, not so much Xbox One versus Sony, but exclusives are what is keeping the Wii U with a heartbeat right now. And yes, it is because probably, and I'm not sure, is anybody going to argue with me on this? The greatest studio that makes games, Nintendo, has the best track record and makes the best games. They're not all perfect, but I swear to God, they do probably the best games most consistently. Nintendo's probably the greatest game development studio, but they only make games for their own console. And that's what keeps it afloat.
No, I think that's just because they make good games, but at the same time, it's really that's all you're buying on that console because there's no one else supporting it. I mean, third party anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're hardly going to get, you'll get the really cheap ass, licensed games and stuff like that for kids, but you're not going to get any serious stuff. Maybe some indie games, but, indie games are across all platforms nowadays. So that's, I think, really it. I mean, it's not that. I mean, yeah, Nintendo games are great, but they're also kind of all you have to play on that system.
So, anyway, so that's all our thoughts on exclusives there. So, there you go. And thank you for listening just about every week to the show. You guys help us keep going. Darsakar, I don't know if you have anything to add or if we're ready for the next email.
There's one more email.
All right.
Hello, LR. I found something on my Japanese 3DS this weekend that seems one part interesting, one part ingenious, and at least three parts horrifying, so I figured I'd share it with everyone. This is Nintendo's latest experiment in finding new ways to extract money from their legions of loyal fans. It just looked like an innocent free app on the eShop that came out about a month ago. I watched the intro video, which I will link to you now, which I can't play reading the email. It begins by showing that 3DS users have the ability to customize their home menus by using stamps.
I know. Funny enough, when Shane brought his new 3DS over this week, he was telling me about this, so I'm aware of where this email is going. But go ahead, please.
Pretty cool, right? The stamps can be stuck wherever a game or app isn't, and most are Mario-themed, Animal Crossing-themed, or similarly Nintendo-themed. Along with stamps, there are also icon replacements for some of the more commonly used apps, like System Settings, StreetPass, Mi Plaza, and Activity Log. Excuse me. Just how these stamps and icons obtained? By winning them out of UFO catchers, aka crane machines, that work identically to those in arcades all across Japan. Hold the A button to send the crane to the left, let go to watch it drop, hope that one or more prizes wind up falling into the prize area. This all sounds well and good until you realize the horrifying part. These crane machines are not free. After a few complimentary plays, the game allows you to purchase 5 tries for 90 yen. You're not buying these items outright, you're merely buying chances to win them. During my free plays, I was able to win most of the items on 2 separate screens, of which there are many, but not the hardest to grab ones. I had the option of paying 90 yen to continue, but declined. If you go back to these screens later to try to win the items you didn't win before, you will find the machine reset to its initial state, making it just as difficult to win those items as it was the first time. This rewards the sort of binging that could cause players to drop lots of money all at once. It is easy to think of this as cheaper than actually trying similar games at an arcade, but by the same token, those games allow you the chance to win physical, tangible prizes. The game will allow you to post pictures of your new improved home menu to Miiverse, but other than that, these are merely cosmetic items that you keep to yourself. I'm really not sure how I feel about this. It looks like the sort of thing that many will accuse of being a shameless cash grab. Nintendo's last pricing experiment, Dadameshi Sports Shop, did wind up in North America, so there's a good chance this could wind up here too. I would just wonder, after years of little things, like intentionally releasing small GameCube memory cards to maximize profit, to limiting supplies of consoles and accessories, to making questionable release decisions, to asking us to buy the same game on Virtual Console over and over again, to keeping all the cool Club Nintendo rewards in Japan, to releasing new limited edition 3DS systems that the new 3DS is about to come out. When the new 3DS is about to come out, how much will it take before even the most devoted fans yell, "Enough is enough"? It's me, Aaron YYR.
You know what's interesting is that when Shane was explaining this to me, I didn't even realize that there was this whole... excuse me. I got a cough. Radio guy's
Rob's
worse than me.
Rob's going to die. Don't die, Rob.
Sorry, getting some water. When Shane was explaining this to me, I didn't realize there was this whole crane game element. I thought it was just, you had these, mini transactions within the game that you had to buy all these stamps and these. I didn't even realize you had to, win them, which is just, a random chance thing. That sounds like a big old pile of heaping bullshit to me. Color me not interested, but there are people out there that are going to spend the money on it. I mean, look.
These are the same people that also buy all the Amiibos.
Well, and look how crazy people went over that Majora's Mask 3DS. What is the difference between that 3DS and the regular 3DS? Some cosmetic faceplate on the outside is really it. But there are people that have to have it. And I understand that drive to a certain degree. I'm not making fun of you or taunting you because I understand that to a degree because I bought the Zelda 3DS. But there's also I kind of agree with YYR. You're going to get to this point where it's like enough is enough. And I think a lot of Nintendo fans are starting to see this all add up. And some of us are getting really frustrated at this. And I think it's very important, very important. If you do not like something, don't buy it. Nobody is forcing you to spend your money on this stuff. And so I think with this whole crane game thing for little stamps that go on the home screen, that how often are you really looking at your home screen on your 3DS? Aren't you supposed to be playing games on your 3DS or exchanging puzzle pieces? Are you going to open up your home screen, look, show your friend, hey, look at me. You know, it's I just don't see that. I don't get it. I guess for other people that maybe are into collecting, I guess good for you, whatever. But me, no way am I kicking even $1 towards that because that would just be another. Then Nintendo can go back to their sales board and say, oh, that's one more person that bought into this. And look at all these users we have dropping 99 cents on this game. Let's do more. Let's use more lovable Nintendo characters the next time we do it and so on and so on. So, yeah, no thank you to this for me. Pow points out, though, that this may not just be Nintendo. Pow says, same things happens with Sony. How many times do people buy Final Fantasy, Metal Gear, or God of War? Well, boy, Square Enix, and maybe a little bit Sony, but I'd say more Square Enix. Square Enix sure looked like a laughing stock getting up there and saying Final Fantasy VII's coming to PlayStation 4. Oh, by the way, it's the PC version. I mean, they kind of ate a little shit over that, at least in the court of public opinion. However, you know, that doesn't mean they're not going to release it. And I'm very curious to see now what that's going to look like when it's released, because I bet there's a ton of people that will still buy it, even though they gave them shit. We're one of the first people on Twitter to say, LOL, PC port on PlayStation 4. They'll be the first person to buy it. Why? Because way down in my squishy heart, I have a soft spot for Final Fantasy VII. But if you really, really don't like it and you don't want them to keep doing this, it is imperative you don't buy it. Act Deft in chat says, if you give money to that, you're supporting it. All right. Anyway, thank you for letting us know about that, because you're right. That's on the Japanese 3DS, not here. And people may not know that this is a thing that's going on. But yeah, that's actually, ironically enough, I also heard about that this week. So it's funny I'm hearing it from two different sides this week. Jamie, any thoughts on that before we close up the mailbag?
Nope.
All right. Loki, I know you love Nintendo. Any thoughts from you on that?
It's a sad... I mean, for a company that doesn't seem to want to get into the mobile market because it would devalue their products, they're certainly imploring a lot of mobile tactics.
I am very impressed with that shade you just threw. That was great. That was a very well thought out response to all that. All right. Well, if you have some thoughts on that, participate at orangeloungetrader.com is the place to send your emails, or we will be opening up the mailbag shortly. Or, I'm sorry, not the mailbag. Well, that's always open. We'll be opening up the phone line shortly over at 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. But we have just a couple quick stories right after a well-timed FU of the Week segment. Why do we do FUs of the Week? Because FU. Star Sakura?
A minor FU to issues and the recovering thereof. That's it.
Very specific and targeted FU. I know how it is. Loki, your FU of the week.
FU to being sick.
I'm with you. I was starting to feel under the weather when I got back from Seattle and thought I got something on the plane.
I caught it from my kids, and it's taking the form of sinus stuff, and along with the sinus stuff, my eye is...
Don't give it to me.
It's not pink eye. It's just friggin' allergies. I get it every single year. My wife says
better.
The same thing. It's pink eye. Get it away from me. I'm like, it's fucking allergies. You know, that's why it goes away towards the end of the day and comes back when I sleep on that side during the night. I'm like, it's fucking allergies.
I hope you feel better soon.
If you want any emergency, let me know. All right.
That stuff does not work.
I am convinced it will suppress symptoms, but it's not like you're never going to get sick if you take it. But it's like getting, it's like taking your vitamins. Does taking vitamin C help? Yes.
Actually, no. That's been disproven. What happened is there was a guy who got on this big kick because one time he took vitamin C and felt better, so he tried to spread this word. And I swear I will pull up all the proof on this if I need to. But they actually did test it, and in some cases, taking extreme amounts of vitamin C will actually suppress parts of your immune system and could potentially lead to development of cancer.
It's vitamin C for cancer.
My doctor tells me to drink a lot of orange juice and that stuff when I'm sick. But anyway, so my FU of the week goes to people that cheat in multiplayer games. I don't care if you cheat in your single-player game and do all the hacking and all that crap you want. Like Loki in his Grand Theft Auto.
Technically that was multiplayer, but it was closed multiplayer.
That's okay, too. As long as if everybody agrees on the terms, then that's fine. But F you to people that cheat in multiplayer games that just ruin it for everybody. Fuck you. All right. That's it. Just a couple more stories for you guys, and then we're going to get to the Skype line at 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. Loki.
So, hey, I bet everyone's really excited to play Codename Steam. You know, I'm sure there's going to be a demo right around the corner. Oh, but I'm sorry, you can only get that demo at GameStop. Oh, and you have to be an employee there. So, yes, there will be a demo coming out for the employees. And I guess they're getting 5 per store, and you'll be able to play it next week. Congrats to you. You're part of the cool kids club with Nintendo.
That's a little, so is it only GameStop employees? Are they going to be affording this to Best Buy?
No, it says, to get you excited as we are, we want GameStop associates to be the first among the experienced Codename Steam. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to put out a demo. It's just it's not going to be out first. You're going to get to play it if you're a GameStop employee. I don't know. I just don't think anyone would give two shits about, you know.
Well, there's a part of me that's like, all right, it's just Project Steam, whatever. It's, you know, not a game like we're all dying. I mean, I think some people are really dying to play this, but it's not like a game we're all foaming at the mouth over. But I just hate the precedent this is setting. You know what I mean? I don't like that.
I am fine with them having that. It's fine. Whatever. They can have their demos and stuff. But it's just like, I think it would be better if everybody got to play it earlier,
yes.
I would think. Because then you get the hype up more. Because honestly, I don't think that...
Or all retailers have the same shot,
Don't think that, like, you know, people at GameStop aren't getting me hyped up on new products. Okay, when I walk in there, it's more like, hey, what do you want to pre-order? You know, they're not saying, hey, have you ever codenamed Steam? It's fucking amazing. Here's why. It's like, it's just not happening that way. They're just not, they can't hype everybody up about everything.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, exclusive demo equals GameStop associate product training. And I certainly get that at end of it. But then ActDev says, I can see GameStop employees reselling these demos on eBay. Yeah,
and I'm sure that they will. I would not doubt for one second that this is when I end up on eBay, because they are making a lot of money. And yeah, that should be up in eBay.
All right. Well, one more little piece for you guys here. Since we were talking a lot about game making this month, especially with the VOG Jam and all that good stuff, which, yes, I still am going to be doing my playthroughs there. Obviously, I was a little busy with my trip and so forth.
And
hoping this week I get to that.
And you're... making,
yes,
as well.
That is on my agenda as well. I got a lot to do before we are even going to think about having a second jam. But this is really cool, is that it's another series of tutorials. You know, obviously we love the guys from Cooking with Unity. They do great stuff, and you know, we had them on the show. But you know what, maybe Unity is not the thing for you, so there's other tutorials out there. And I thought this was pretty cool, is that Tom Francis, who made the game Gunpoint, put together a game maker tutorial. It's a series of videos that's available on YouTube, and all you have to do, if you download Game Maker, which was used in games like Spelunky, Risk of Rain, Nidhogg, and some of these other games, you can check out. There's a free version of Game Maker Studio. I'm pretty sure there is a pay version as well. But anyway, if you download this Game Maker, you can watch this series of videos and basically show you in an hour how to make some games within this Game Maker Game Maker Studio. So I thought that's pretty cool. You don't have to have any programming or game creation experience. If you follow the tutorials, you'll have a character that moves around with the WASD keys and shoots the direction of the mouse pointer. And as noted in the series itself, if you can shoot, it's officially a video game. So there it is. That's pretty cool that you can do that. So another, you know, if you tried the Unity thing and it's not working for you, you want to learn something, there you go. You can check out Game Maker, which has been used by people who made Spelunky, and Hotline Miami is another big one.
There
so,
was one other cool. one I had, too, that I follow that is Game Maker, but I can't remember who it was. And I've got to look. Unfortunately, these aren't very helpful. Thank you, YouTube, for browsing these channels. So, I'll have to get back to you on that. But there is one, though, that they have a ton of really cool, like, tutorials and stuff for Game Maker.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to the Skype line over at 1-877-GAME-OLR. Our username on Skype is Orange Lounge Radio. The Skype line is open now for you to call in and participate with the show tonight. And
I think it's actually this guy, Sean Spaulding, I think is who it is, if I remember correctly. Because this looks correct.
Loki, do you have any last-minute stories, too, while we wait for Skype to
No. Well, there's one that we didn't mention, another one of those games that they're going to be bringing back as a remake or HD-er version on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, but Devil May Cry, they're doing that as well, so look for that in the near future.
All right, let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Launch Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDef.
Hey, ActDef, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, speaking of retail exclusives, Nintendo screwing up some things and all that stuff, I have a rant to say about the new 3DS especially.
Go for it.
Well, not necessarily the Majora's Mask new 3DS, and I said on the chat earlier that I thought, Skyson corrected, that the Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate new 3DS looks way more prettier, way more awesome. And I really wanted one. But since it was a GameStop exclusive, and I say was, I couldn't get one. Even though it didn't sell out immediately like the Majora's Mask one, I couldn't get one. And this is something that I kind of talked about the last time I called.
Mm-hmm.
Where since I don't live in the United States, I don't get to have some things immediately, and this is one of them. Since GameStop doesn't want my money, nor from my own debit or credit cards, nor even PayPal, I couldn't get one. Hmm. I was so pissed, like really, really angry at it, like. You don't have an idea, even though I pretty much ran it on Twitter already about this, but oh my god, I was so fucking angry.
And this is because now, this was GameStop, because GameStop's exclusive to this, they would not take whatever particular credit card you were trying to use?
Yeah, GameStop doesn't allow for some credit cards in some countries.
Got it.
If it doesn't register. They have, and this is pretty much like something that angers me also, because they have countries in Europe that they do accept, even like I think New Zealand and Australia, they accept, but no, Mexico and any other Latin American countries, no, they won't take my money or our money.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really stupid. I don't know how to express it correctly, but it's stupid.
And it's because, and no, I totally get why that's frustrating. And this just goes to that whole fact, because Nintendo only uses one retailer for some of these exclusives, then it's like you have no other options. You can't just go to Amazon, or you can't go to somewhere else and, you know, another option that may actually be willing to take your money from another country.
Yeah, it's not, like you said, I cannot go to Amazon. I cannot go to maybe even Walmart. I was saying about that. Well, if it appears. If like the Majora's Mask one appears in Walmart and on their site, I can buy it.
Right.
And I can order it from them. But not GameStop. Not and not even other stores, but no, it's a GameStop exclusive, and I cannot get it get it anywhere else, unless I import one from Japan, and that would be a Japanese one, and I would have to deal with region locking and all that stuff, and I don't really want to deal with that.
Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Rama in chat says, fuck this, I may end up going to Nintendo World for mine. Luckily that you can do that, you know. Most people don't have that option just based on where they live, you know. So, and that I know is what's incredibly frustrating for you, ActDeft, because it's not like Nintendo is so quick to support Mexico either, you know. You're not going to see them releasing some limited edition, you know, 3DS in Mexico. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. Even Nintendo doesn't have it has an official participation here in Mexico, or representation, but not directly. It's all the stuff they bring over here, it's from a distributor hired by them, and they distribute all the things, all the amiibos or the consoles, games and all that stuff. So it's not a direct representative like even Sony and Microsoft. They do have a direct representatives here. But Nintendo, no. It's always been like that. And I mean always.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to say, ActDeft, other than I can sympathize with you. It is very frustrating. And just add that to the list on why a retailer exclusive is a bad idea. And I think an old saying I kind of use that I think applies here is, Nintendo, you make it very hard for me to love you sometimes. You make it very hard for me to love you.
Yeah, and that's pretty much my sentiment. I will still support Nintendo, and I will eventually get a new 3DS. But still, it's something like really frustrating. And I also said on Twitter that that's the last time I would support GameStop or something too. I'm officially dropping GameStop as probably a place I would go, or I would consider buying stuff online or on their stores or whatever.
Well, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
I hate to say. All right, ActDeft, I'm going to let you go so we can get some more calls, but thank you for sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
It offers a very good perspective I think a lot of people don't think about. So take care, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
All right, bye. All right, 1-877-GAME-OLR. Username on Skype is Orange Lounge Radio, but the phone's already lighting up, so let's get to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Raginator.
Hey, Raginator, buddy. What's on your mind?
Not a whole lot. I just want to put my 2 cents in regarding Robert M's email from earlier. Seeing as he's been having problems with his PlayStation 3, and I hate to admit this, but I'm kind of an expert on this issue.
Fair enough. Well, what were your thoughts hearing that email?
Basically, to make a long story, conversation short, I'm 1,000% sure that his PlayStation 3 is dying, most likely because it's overheating. The soldering or the motherboard on there is going to go shit, and he's going, sooner or later, he's going to get the dreaded yellow light of death. It's not something he can fix himself, and I would not recommend going to like a mom and pop store or what have you to have it repaired. Regardless of whether or not his system is under warranty, I would suggest sending it to Sony to have it repaired. If it's not, in the worst case scenario, if it's not under warranty, you may have to pay a little bit to have it fixed. But it's going to be a little bit cheaper than going out and buying a new system. And plus, on top of that, if it goes that route, assuming that he gets all of his proverbial ducks in a row beforehand, there's a reasonably good chance that he'll get his video content back. Granted, like you said, he doesn't have a whole lot of video content, but the fact is, he has it, and if I were in his position, if I bought it, I want to keep access to it. And
That's a really good point that you bring up that we didn't really discuss when we were talking to him about his options, is that, he kind of just quickly said, I don't think sending it to Sony is really an option because I'm out of warranty. But you're right that sending it to Sony is still probably going to run you cheaper than getting a new machine. And even though it won't be under warranty now, and you may have to pay a little bit out of pocket, I could be wrong, but won't it now be under some type of like post-repair warranty where if something goes wrong for the next year, you know, then Sony will have to fix it again because they repaired it the first time? I could be wrong with that, but it would seem like you would at least get that perk too.
Honestly, I can't remember whether or not that would apply or not. It's been a while since I had my PlayStation 3 with it or even sure. had it in my position to begin with. But nonetheless, you know, at least if you know you send it in to Sony themselves as opposed to Joe Schmo or whatever, at least you know they'll be repaired correctly. Right. And if, you know, you give it to Joe Schmo and they try to fix it and they fork in your system, then guess what? You're shit out of luck, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And, but, you know, now you were, you know, also you were, you know, there was, you know, when you were talking amongst yourselves earlier, you know, you seemed like there was, sounded like there was a little bit of confusion as to how video downloads work.
All right, now
I'm going to, put a label on what I'm about to say as, for like a little asterisk or footnote on what I'm saying, that being that, unless they change things since I had my system in 2012, what I'm saying applies, but I doubt, they changed anything. But last time I checked, videos work a little bit differently than games and DLC. No, whereas like games and DLC, you have your master list of downloads. You can basically re-download stuff constantly. If you delete something, you can re-download it, no problem. Now, videos work a little bit differently. Once you buy something, let's say for a second conversation, you bought the pilot to the X-Files. If you bought that, you can download that video once. Let's say you download it to your PS3. Once that's downloaded onto your PS3, you can no longer re-download it unless you buy it again.
So it is unlike games, because games you can download to more than one console. It used to be like 5, but now I think a couple years ago they narrowed it down. You can only do it to 2. So you're saying with video, once you download it, that's it. You don't get to go back on the store and download it again.
Correct. Now, the only time that they make an exception to this is, in certain circumstances, like if you're sending in your machine to be repaired to Sony, let them know in advance, hey, since I'm sending my system in to be repaired for this whatever issue, I have item A, item B, and item C on my video queue that I paid for. Once I send my machine in, get it repaired, and it sent back to me, could you, set things up so I can re-download it?
Gotcha.
You're more than likely going to get your videos back, but that's not a 100% guarantee, though.
You may have to make several calls. Well, Spazinator, I appreciate the tips. I think Robert M. will be able to use that in weighing his decision on what he's going to do. I'm curious to see what Robert M. is going to do. But, all right, well, I appreciate the tips. I'm going to let you go to try to fit in a couple more calls, okay?
Sure, no problem.
All right, take care, my friend.
Have a good one.
All right, bye. 1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. Loki, do you have anything else you want to share with us? I don't know if you finished up your last-minute stories.
No, unfortunately.
Well, I can always go to Twitter over at twitter.com/OLR. Sometimes we get some tweets throughout the week that I'll take this opportunity to respond to while we're waiting for some calls. Excuse me. And even I have the cough. It's a very sickly night here at Orange Lounge Radio.
Mine's just all left over from my old sinus infection.
Alex P. Carson tweets us saying, can't join in tonight, but much love to the OL Army and the hosts. Heart. Aw.
Yay.
Well, a big heart right back at you. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Lots of retweets and shout-outs for the Rockage interview we had earlier. So awesome for that. Let's see. Obi-Wan Jabroni tweets saying, won't be able to catch Bobby Blackwolf in OLR this AM, because remember, he's overseas, so it's the AM for him. We'll be watching the WWE Royal Rumble. Well, at least you have your priorities straight. Hope there's no chance to get extra VOG points. Well, I think you lucked out. I don't think Bobby or I had any games or anything tonight for extra points, so you might have lucked out. Keep in mind, though, Bobby is not having a show next week. He is off for the Superb Owl. He does a big party thing with some friends. He's done that every year, so that would be important that his show, you'll have to check in for that at some point over the next 2 weeks. You just check in once there. So, all right. Gosh, I think that might be it. We're not really getting a lot of calls, and it's 9:15, so I think it probably is time for us to wrap up. If you didn't get through and you know, were just being shy and you think of something to say later on, don't forget to email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. You can always email us, and that gives you time to think about what you want to say, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. But for now, we're going to go ahead and start to wrap things up for the night. So, as always, I want to thank you guys very much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio and supporting independent broadcasting. If you like what you heard here at the show, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can't give those voices any airtime if they're not here listening to us. So please, if you have some friends you think would enjoy the show, please send them our way, either live or in podcast form. If you honestly can't think of anyone to tell, we'll always accept reviews of the show. We really appreciate any 5-star reviews over on Stitcher Radio, where you can hear this program. Also on iTunes, of course, huge for podcasting, or wherever it is that you found this show, we would appreciate a nice review. Those go a long way towards visibility as well. It's about time to go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. I will start with my final thought for the night. My final thought for the night is, Alan was able to come home from work on light rail, so I don't have to pick him up tonight. So that means 30 more minutes of either Diablo 3, Final Fantasy 14, or Fantasy Life. We'll see. Dark Soccer, your final thought tonight.
Fuck that, I'm having cheesecake.
Oh my god, do you know what I learned this weekend though when we went to Cheesecake Factory?
Don't tell me, la.
I'm just going to say, don't open the menu of how many calories a slice of cheesecake has. Don't do it. Are you getting your cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory?
Hell yeah.
Oh, well then I'm definitely not going to tell you, because you're going to be like,
I already know, by the way. But there's a reason behind this. Tomorrow I am 100% back on keto. So I figured may as well blow out all the sugar for an entire year, and then I'll be fine.
Nothing wrong with a little indulgence once in a while. A little indulgence is fine.
I'm indulging the fuck
out of that.
But
I indulged a lot in Seattle, a lot.
You gonna come with?
I'm gonna respectfully pass, just because I have indulged a lot the past couple weeks.
Fuck it, you only live once.
I know. Loki, your final thought.
That channel I was talking about earlier, it was user 999 Grey Fox, G-R-E-Y Fox, on YouTube. That was Sean Spaulding does some tutorials for Game Maker. And hopefully I will be working more on my game this week. I'm almost to the point where I can actually start building levels, so I'm just doing the starting line sequence, you know, when you're starting off in a level where it does the countdown and stuff and go and starts the timer type thing, because I have the timer running and I have everything. Now I've got it where in the very first level, because the first part's like a menu and you have to drive through the first level, and once you get on the starting line, it's got to stop you and then move you to where it needs, like the middle of it, and then let you go after the countdown thing. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Nice. I'm hoping to make some progress on my game as well. The weekend will be a good chance for me to do that. I honestly, up until tonight in setting up for the interview, for some reason in my mind, I thought Rockage was this coming weekend. So I was thinking, oh, okay, I got to plan a trip to San Jose this weekend. And then I forgot, no, stupid, there's still the Super Bowl and then a Rockage. So knowing that I don't really care about the Super Bowl, that'll give me a lot of time this coming weekend to work on that. So that'll be exciting. So, fingers crossed, I can have something to show you guys soon. So.
Once I get to the point where I can start building levels, then I can implement all the goofy shit that I've had.
That's the stuff you really wanted to do.
Exactly, because I got all the like framework stuff done, then it's just like creative, and that's where I want to get to.
All right, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks again for your support and coming back after a week off. We really appreciate it, and we will be back to do it all again in 7 days. Yes, we will be here, despite that football game that a lot of people seem to care about.
I know, Puppy Bowl, but we've gone up against them in the past, and you know.
Thankfully, Puppy Bowl airs really early for us on the West Coast, so we can get that out of our system before we do OLR that night. But Dark Sakura, and maybe Loki too, you know, we've been talking about doing our Super Taco Bowl next Sunday.
No. It's called a burrito bowl.
Burrito bowl. Oh, excuse me. Super burrito bowl. So maybe we'll do that for OLR next week.
You know what I still call it?
What?
The Super Bowl, which is what we're going to be in after the Super Burrito Bowl.
Well, it gets us an excuse to play, was it the sports song or whatever from Weird Al next week?
That's true.
Sports, do the thing. Get the thing to the other side of the thing. Sports harder than the other team.
Careful what you order in your Super Burrito Bowl at Chipotle or you'll end up on the Super Toilet Bowl. So, all right. And on that thought, that does it for another Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you in 7 days. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.